Some former Ubisoft developers have founded a new development studio, Nesting Games, and have announced their desire to return to, quote, RPGs that are focused on immersion, great characters, powerful storytelling, and strong gameplay. First comes the proclamation, then come the delays, then comes the face of the studio making you their bitch. Or at least that's what happened with Daikatana, and fingers crossed for Nesting that history does not repeat. This is just one hype train, now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki to tell you more about this and the rest of the week's gaming news, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Internet, welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are back with you live once again for this episode number 884 tonight, September the 19th of 2021. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'm here with you guys, and I am joined by my co-hosts. Say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Hi, Rob. Look at my shirt.
Hi. It's Golden Girls, go for gold. Is that what it says?
That's what it says. Nice. And I got it for $3 at Target on clearance.
Okay. Oh, hey, work. Hey, we love a sale. We sure do.
Yeah, but especially a Golden Girls sale.
Yes. Boy, yeah. they sure have licensed that Golden Girls stuff everywhere. Like I see more of it now than I did in the 80s. I mean, I was young in the 80s, but still.
Still sad though that the spinoff never took off. What was it, Golden Palace?
The Golden Palace, yeah.
The Golden Palace
on CBS, and it didn't have Bea Arthur. It had the others running a hotel, and they added Don Cheadle was in it.
I remember
that was one of his first roles, and there was another person that's a little more famous now that was in it too that played the cook. And I can't remember his name off the top of my head.
Yeah, I don't remember either. Yeah. But it was an interesting premise. I thought it would have been really, really good, but alas.
Alas.
And also thanks to Fat Ninja DM for the 205 bits.
Yes. Usually we call that out at the end, but that's all right. We can always take time for a special acknowledgement.
Well, I just happened to see it, so I thought I'd say it.
Sia Tabiri says it was she. I was going to say it was one of Cheech and Chong, but I wasn't 100% sure on it. But it was Cheech Martin that was in it, that played Chewie the chef. So, okay. I should have went with my gut, but I was like, well, if I'm wrong, I don't want to be wrong. Should have went with my gut.
We're human. If we're wrong, I'm sure someone on the internet will call us out later.
Yes. Someone on the internet will cancel us later for being wrong. Say hello as well to Techmaster Loki.
Yeah, the only thing Golden Palace ever actually succeeded at, it was, you know, a chain of Chinese, Asian buffet restaurants.
Not the TV show. Yes. How are you doing? What's this game behind you tonight? It looks like VR or something.
It's Power Washing.
Power Washing Simulator.
Oh, shit. I've seen like demos for that or like trailers. I haven't played it, though. I've heard it.
I haven't either.
Oh, it looks like fun, like in a very like, you know, chill out kind of way.
It does look like a lot of fun, actually.
Yeah, I need to pick that game up.
One of my Twitch friends, Ludabelle, she plays this on the weekends.
Nice.
And it really is chill, like to the point that I'm trying. I need to see if it's available for Mac on Steam.
I want to do one of those games like Power Washing or like Cookie Clicker or something, like stream that, where it's like there really is no game. It ends up being a just chatting stream, but with a game playing behind it.
To add to that, I mean, there's a lot of games like that. So there's also now Lawnmower Sim.
Okay. So, yeah.
And go. It's all the chores, just, you know.
Honestly.
Gamify real life. Honestly, adulting the game.
Microsoft Flight Simulator is that too. Like, sure, it's a beautiful game and, you know, it's intricate with the takeoff and everything, especially if you play in pro mode. But once you get airborne, do you know what you do? You fly and you watch the ground under you change as you fly in real time. So if you're flying from, I don't know, say OLR's hometown of Sacramento to Vegas, you're going to fly for an hour over nothing. The Mojave, just like in real life, the Mojave Desert.
Tiger Claw's pointing out there is a new simulator, though, that's a gas station simulator.
Oh, so
that is also gaining popularity right now.
Yeah.
All of these games I need to get. Maybe I should buy them all.
We just really need
power washing soon, though.
We really need to thank though Penn and Teller, because I think they started really the whole thing with Desert Bus.
Yeah, I'll acknowledge that. I mean, I don't know if any of these devs would say they were inspired by Desert Bus, but indirectly, perhaps
they know they were in their hearts.
Okay, did you say car washing simulator, Loki?
Gas station simulator.
Oh, because
I'm pretty sure there's already a car washing simulator.
We need a car washing simulator, but it's
like, technically, right now we're watching in power washing simulator. It is car wash simulator.
Well, hear me out. I want car washing simulator, but with your choice, bikini cheerleader adult women, not the creepy stuff, bikini cheerleader adult women, or Speedo men, your choice. Or if neither one is your approach, then cute animals are doing the washing for you.
I know what we need.
What?
We need pet salon simulator.
Pet what?
I'm
pet salon simulator.
All of these things exist. Let's see. So car wash simulator. There is a car wash simulator already.
Okay, good.
Pet grooming simulator.
Perfect.
There is not. So pet
thank
sim.
You. Excellent choice.
Copyright Jamie.
Excellent alternative by Sia Tiberi in chat. So I was saying either bikini women or Speedo men, or if neither is what you want, Sia Tiberi says both Grimace and Birdie from McDonald's. Perfect. The McDonald's, the Hamburglar and all that. What are they called?
The McDonaldland friends.
The McDonaldland friends. That's it. I was like, the McDonald gang? What are they called?
They're called the something.
They are definitely. Well, the Hamburglar. Hello. It's definitely a gang.
And the Fry Guys. But you know, the grimace represents the feeling you have after eating too much McDonald's.
Do they still make those playgrounds with like the burgers that are just giant iron cages for children?
They don't. They stopped doing that in the 80s. But like, I remember going in there.
Now you
like,
have like
we used
the
to do that all the time. You climb up into those giant cages that they have, and it's like, why would I want to go up in there? Because there's like no way to get out. If there's other kids in there, like you're like stuck in there. So you better not be claustrophobic or anything, because you know it's dangerous.
Now they have like those mini pits, like they had at Discovery Zone. You know, the little crawl around and ball pit.
Oh,
things.
The ball pit.
Yeah, it's the new thing. It's Discovery Zone, less ball pit.
I had friends that worked at McDonald's growing up saying that the ball pit was a pee pee poo poo zone. Like, do not put children in the ball pit. All right, that is a high volume pee pee poo poo zone. Like, don't do it.
I used to go to the Discovery Zone with my brothers, and while they were off playing, I found this one little place that none of the kids would want to go in. It was basically like a giant hammock, and I'd take a nap.
Tiger Claw in chat says they should make a Blockbuster simulator where you run the store. That was on the show a few weeks ago. It's a VR game coming to PlayStation, isn't it? It was something it was based on the last Blockbuster. Like, I remember that being a thing that we talked about on the show.
SSJ100 Matt says still have Mayor McCheese statues around that haven't been stolen over the years by local teens.
Wow. Those should be poked.
Yeah, most of the fast food restaurants around here have taken out their playground.
I haven't seen a playground in forever at a fast food restaurant.
There's still some. You know who has one, actually? Chick-fil-A has a playground inside.
They have a ball pit.
Interesting.
It's super tiny, though.
That's actually what I was thinking about when I was thinking about the fake Discovery Zone, was that one Chick-fil-A that Becky used to take her son to.
Huh. Interesting. All right. Anyway.
We don't support Chick-fil-A, do we?
We could talk about playing in the ball pit at the local fast food restaurant, but we also play video games in our spare time. Let's get into tonight's kickoff topic, which is a bit of a downer surprise, I guess. I don't know. Loki, this is weird. It kind of came out of nowhere. Loki, why don't you get into kickoff topic for us tonight?
So, yes, unfortunately, and I think that they were in the process of shutting these down. It just wasn't shut down yet. But the servers for the Little Big Planet content for PlayStation 3 and Vita have been shut down because apparently hackers have gone in and, they were, I guess, DDoSing the servers. So they right now kept them down because they kept getting malicious messages left by the hackers in the game as well. And they weren't able to trace it back to, they trace it back to a single fan who was unhappy with Sony's treatment of the franchise. Yes, that's the perfect way. So I'm unhappy with what you did with Little Big Planet, so I'm going to knock
ruin it for everybody.
I'm
going
to ruin everything. That's great.
Kids today. That kid was never locked inside of an iron McDonald's burger. I guarantee it. Fucking kids
you
today.
You haven't seen your life flash before your eyes inside of an iron hamburger. But they have brought the Little Big Planet 3 servers for PlayStation 4 back online after a small update. But the PlayStation 3 trilogy and the Vita versions are now permanently deactivated. So all that user-made content, all those Alanis Morissette, levels, they're all lost to time now.
The Parker Posey worship level, my favorite.
Oh, the Parker Posey.
My favorite level that was ever in Little Big Planet, yes.
Yeah, the Parker Posey levels, yes.
That's sad. But I mean, also, it's just the fact that it came out of nowhere, and it's just alarming that, you know, because usually when these types of shutdowns happen, you have warning, right? Like, you know, or take that whole thing when Sony was like, we're going to close the PlayStation 3 and the Vita stores. Remember that? And that got dialed back real quick after the feedback. But usually, I mean, you know, on the Microsoft side of the fence, but it's still the same thing. Just this week, Forza Motorsport 7 was sunsetted, like just in the past few days. But there was a lot of warning that was coming. You know, they warned people, they gave the notice, they put the game on sale and all this stuff. But with Little Big Planet, it's just kind of poof, gone. And especially considering what an iconic series that is on PlayStation, that's just really a bummer. Now, granted, I'm almost certain Little Big Planet 3 on PlayStation 4 was probably a giveaway game, like multiple times, whether it was on PlayStation Plus or that whole at home with PlayStation event during the pandemic. I'm almost positive that game has come up at some point, but it still sucks, especially on the Vita front. I mean, the PS3 is one thing, but that means no more portable Little Big Planet outside the single player levels.
Yeah.
It's a bummer. So, I mean, do you think this might discourage people from contributing to these sorts of communities, knowing and having that reminder that their work is in somebody else's hands at the end of the day, really?
No, I don't think so.
No. One of these days, all those Roblox creations people are making, they're just going to poof into the night.
And my kids will be disappointed. My kids won't be disappointed by that time, but
they'll probably be in their 30s by that time.
There's a lot of content, like the Little Big Planet stuff. You know, there's a lot of content that was good, and there's also a lot more content that wasn't so good. And honestly, that's kind of where Roblox is. That and music licensing or the piracy of all sorts of assets and IPs and whatnot. And it's just a wild west of craziness there that is going to be smacked down at some point. But yeah.
Well, Little Big Planet had a lot of those problems as well. I think they started to crack down on it a little bit, but I'm pretty sure it was a copyright wild west in many ways. Now, it is, you know, we still have to emphasize, if I really, really, really want to play the Parker Posey level all the way back from Little Big Planet 1, or I want to play the Bobby Blackwolf show advertisement level that he was showing off on his show tonight, because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VogNetwork, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. I don't think I said that yet tonight. But he had his ad level that was in Little Big Planet 1, and I technically could still play that on my PS4 copy of Little Big Planet 3, but for how much longer? You know, and it sounds like even then those servers were down for a while they tried to fix them, and whatever they had to do to fix it, they couldn't even deploy to the old games because there's no resources, there's no money, there's no time, there's no all of the above. Pretty much.
Yeah.
So someday, it's a reminder, someday all of these things that we put into video games, all of these cosmetics that we buy for video games will go away. One of these days, all that money Dark Soccer and I have spent on Dead by Daylight cosmetics will be worth nothing. They will go away.
You mean all the money I've spent on Dead by Daylight cosmetics for you? Or
that
pillars
too.
For you?
Well, to me, I did buy all the Steam stuff myself, but yes, my Xbox, my ground level support was all you.
I bought you some Steam.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I did. Didn't I buy you Pig?
I think so, right when I was first getting on Steam. But
There
was a point where I bought every single thing I was missing. They were having like a 70% off. I bought every single thing I was missing except for Ash from Evil Dead. It's the one DLC I don't have because I don't need it.
Well, who
His
knows?
Perks are shit. and I don't really,
But you really want to run Medal of Man, Rob? You really want it?
No, no, I don't. Anyway,
I actually was in a match on someone doing Adept Ash.
Ugh.
And when I realized it, I felt so sorry for them. I just let them go.
Mike Deft in chat says, speaking of things not available now, Forza Motorsport 7. I forgot to buy it. Whoops. Well, the good news is get it on disc because they can't take those away. Now, I mean, the online servers are down, so you'll miss out on that part of it. But you can still play the base game if you can find a disc somewhere. But yeah, as far as getting to play the version that comes with Game Pass, not that opportunity has gone on by. And technically, with Little Big Planet and all that stuff, you can still play the base games. Because they're not online, but I mean, online was kind of the best part. I mean, it's a decent platformer, especially the first one was pretty good. But you know, the best parts are online. Chewy240 in chat says, I like Little Big Planet, but now there's Dreams, Sackboy, etc. You do make a good point with Dreams. Sackboy is kind of a different game with the same, like, it's just a platformer. There's not really the same user content, at least to my knowledge. They didn't really open it up for user content the same way. But Dreams, yes, that was very much, like, wide open. And so, yeah, Dreams is definitely a thing still, but for how long? Womp womp. Like, it's just one of those things that we have to realize, you know, one of these days, it's just, it's very possible it just disappears. And that's it. So.
C'est la guerre.
Wild stuff. Yeah.
Indeed.
All right. Well, let's talk about, go ahead.
I do want to give a shout out right now.
Yeah.
To another streamer, Puddins, for happy birthday.
Oh, yeah. I caught a little bit of his birthday stream last night. Happy birthday.
I made a pig card.
Cute. All right.
I figured a birthday shout out was in order.
Let's move on to our gaming weeks and talk about the types of video games that we've been playing this week. And we'll go to Dark Soccer first.
Dead by Daylight. Duh. And Fantasian, which I got another boss battle done, one of the other quests, and get more of my people back. And I'm having a really good time with Fantasian. This is a really solid RPG with a really solid story and lots of room for me to make fun of how stupid the characters can be sometimes.
Is part two the last part? Do we know? Like, honest question, I don't know.
Part two, Rob, is technically not a real part two.
Oh.
It's an expansion of the first game.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So, like, when I load Fantasian, I am loading my current install. It just updated.
Oh, okay.
And it was having some problems where, like, it would, like, I would beat a boss battle or some big battle, and my game would freeze. And that seems to have already been patched out. There was another patch. If anyone else is playing it, there's a patch that came out just the other day. And also, side note, if you have any Apple products, update your operating system now if you haven't already. Make sure your iPhones, iPads, whatever, Mac, all up to date, because there was a security breach from some Israeli spyware company, and so that's been patched out. Just putting the word out there, making sure people are in the know.
My sister texted me about that, and I've never known her to be a tech person. That was interesting. She's like, yeah, did you update your phone?
It was pretty big. It was a pretty big deal.
Oh, yeah. No, I then saw the stories on sites and things like that. But anyway.
Okay. Well, and of course, if you have an Apple Watch, once you update your phone, you have to update your watch and everything. So, but anyway, of course, with those two, I've picked up... What was it that I still don't remember that other game that I picked up. But... I want to sit down and do Slay the Spire, and I need to sit down with Final Fantasy 14 and actually if I can play the game, which I'm thinking about making that like a midweek stream, just like an hour and a half of Final Fantasy. Do something a little different, you know, branch out, do the variety. Who am I kidding? I'm going to go back to Dead by Daylight. Anyway.
All right. Anything else for your game of the week?
Oh yeah, pinball.
Oh,
we got our Metallica back, And of course, Dan's Creature from the Black Lagoon is back, and I played a little bit of it. And so, yeah, a little bit of pinball for in for good measure.
All right. A little bit of pinball is always good. Loki, how about you? How was your gaming week?
I didn't play a whole ton. I played more Minecraft, put out a new episode of my series, so that's out on YouTube now. I did check out a little bit of Cruises and Blasts on the Switch, which it's all right. It's not Excite Truck, but it's, you know, it's a cruising game. And the only complaint I would have with it, and I'm sure it's just intentional, is that it's like someone took the game and bumped the saturation to like 20. It's just like ridiculously garishly colorful, like to a point that's like actually irritating to look at. But aside from that, though, my kids like it. My son's already beat the game and unlocked everything. But yeah, it's I was hoping for like something that's kind of Excite Truckish, but it's not. Nothing will ever capture my heart like Excite Truck.
Aw. Well, maybe a new F-Zero could.
No.
There's an F-Zero chance of that game ever happening at this point, which is depressing, but reality.
Yeah. So that's it. That's all I really did this week.
Cool. My gaming week. I didn't get around to buying the new WarioWare. I was kind of surprised at myself, but still trucking along with some of the stuff that I've been playing. Yes, Cookie Clicker, but that's not like really a game. So it was a thing that occurred. And then let's see. I also played some Dead by Daylight. Oh, something I learned about that actually that applies to lots of PC based games. Or because I'm playing on that platform. But worth explaining, and shout out to a streamer I watch a lot, and I know he's been here in chat before, Tay from Tay Plays Games with a Y. He was talking to me about the NVIDIA settings, which I've never played with, but you have to have an NVIDIA graphics card. I imagine there's got to be a similar thing on the AMD side. I'm not trying to be a graphics card fanboy, like NVIDIA is just what I ended up with. I do not have a particular brand loyalty in this whole thing. I'm going to tell you
that was my last card.
I'm going to tell you what I learned for my device. And I'm sure there's something similar for the competition out there, okay? But NVIDIA has this thing called the GeForce Experience, which I've not really played around with a lot because it has like an in-game thing. And I've always kind of ignored it because my assumption was, it probably slows the game down. I'm just going to not load it and sideload it or whatever. But Tay was telling me that you can actually really apply some filters in that really make your game look a lot better. And I've always noticed when he's streaming, I'm always like, your game looks a little bit sharper than most people I see streaming Dead by Daylight. And it's this NVIDIA thing. So I just throwing it out there, if you are an NVIDIA person and you've never played around with the GeForce thing, take a look at it because there's some valuable sliders in there. You go into, you load the experience, and then you hit the Alt Z to access it. And there's like a filter mode. I think you can hit Alt F3 to access it directly. And you can actually, it's like on your TV, you adjust the brightness, contrast, sharpness, but you can change some other things too. And I actually got my Dead by Daylight game to look quite a bit better thanks to that tip. So shout out to
Tay. I did that on my PC before with when I was playing, it was my card before that, but it was also a GeForce.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to do a little bit of tweaking like that for when I ran the high-res mods for Mass Effect.
Yeah. And Tiger Claw also brings out up GeForce Experience has a feature that will optimize the games to run better based on the GPU that you have. Also, not every single game is supported on it. Yes, that's true. And actually, that feature I have used before, but I've also found that it doesn't always optimize performance versus frames. You have to manually go in there. When you're going to optimize, you hit the little wrench and you kind of bring it down a little bit so that you do get a little, because I prefer frames actually over, I am all for the extra frames. Save the animals. I want extra frames because it's a smooth experience. So I prefer performance. But I have found in my experience that thing prefers quality, which I mean, I get it. It's a video card. They want to show off, but just kind of keep that in the back of your mind. Fifth Dream in our chat at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, I use the filters all the time. At minimum, it helps with gamma and color adjustments, but you really can get in there. I've made Fallout look like Borderlands, LOL. Yeah, like, and honestly, go on places like Reddit that have people that are posting their specs. Tay just screenshotted all his settings and put it in his Discord, so I just copied everything he had. But I started, because I was like, oh, if there's this, I wonder what there is for Final Fantasy 14, another PC game I play a lot of. And I went to go look that up, and there were some ideas and thoughts with how to make that game look better. So the internet, it's a big resource. Use it. That being said, I also played a little bit of Final Fantasy 14 this week, just because with the big patch stream that happened this week, we'll talk about that later in the show, it made me go, oh yeah, I gotta get some shit done before Endwalker. And I got my monk to 60, which means every class is at least 60. Every class has beaten Heaven's Word in that regard. Now I just need to get everything to 80, but I only have three classes left to go. So I'll get there. I'll get there before the expansion. And then quickly on the Dead by Daylight front, since Dark Soccer, you brought up Adepts earlier, I got Adept Tap of all characters. I'm just
interesting.
Well, there's survivors.
Well, he's got good perks.
He does have good perks, and I really want. So, you know, Chris is my main in Dead by Daylight, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in Dead by Daylight,
I mean, Beefcake,
you get the you have to play other survivors to a certain level to get their perks to show up in all the survivors' blood trees. And that's how you level them. So the one I just did was Ace. I did Ace Visconti. I'll say it was for my husband, but it actually wasn't. I wanted that perk open-handed that increases your aura readings because Kindred plus open-handed in solo queue, mwah, beautiful, beautiful combo of perks for Survivor.
For the record, I did a thing.
Oh, did you play Survivor for the first time finally?
No, but I put points in Meg.
Oh, you're preparing. You're preparing.
I'm preparing. So I have to take a little side route because you know Finara, right, my friend?
Yeah.
I'm planning on doing a little TikTok series that's basically just like a bunch of meme-y stuff with Pig and Meg and David.
Okay.
And so we've been talking about like getting everything together and doing it. And I figured, well, if I'm going to have, you know, because I might have to do Survivor in a custom. So I figured I'm actually going to learn Survivor on, as I call her, the Meglet. And rather than just use all of my survivors as a fashion show.
Okay.
Zarina's new outfits though. Oh my God.
All right. But, yes.
Iconic.
So, yes, I got so after I was done leveling this, I went to Tap because I want his the thing that shows you the auras of all the totems and the gens every time a gen pops. It's great for comboing with a map.
What about using that with Jill's totem perk?
Honestly, yes. And I think that his perk is better than Jill's perk. But if you have a map, either are effective.
Gotcha.
I have a hard time.
I mean,
time
usually when I see a Tap in the game, I'm just like, oh, he's going to be up to shit. And, you know, if I'm in a game that I've got like Ruin or something going live in, I usually go after Tap first.
Tap also has that great ability. Sorry, I won't go too far down the DBD, but hey, we spend a lot of time on it. But this real quick note.
We do. It's our new Mass Effect.
Has that great ability where he can crawl while he's charging his meter. That's pretty odd, but it's a little bit situational. But in a lot of games I've played, that's a clutch ability if you're running it, which, you know, that's the hardest part of Dead by Daylight is which four perks do you pick?
I get a little worried when I see a Tap in a match.
Yeah.
Well,
he is the pig's antithesis. So
true.
it's apropos.
But, well, and
for
I am a pig main.
it's appropriate for you to not like Tap on just on principle.
For the record, I have been sharing the gospel of Resident Pigu and the alternate version Silent Pigu.
Yes, your build that consumes people with the traps very easy. Yes,
I know. See, isn't it great,
y'all? I know Dark Soccer talks a lot about Dead by Daylight on this show. It is, like she said, it's the new Mass Effect. But y'all don't understand. It doesn't matter. Like, and I don't know how she does it, you guys. I will go into a random person I follow that I'm just watching play Dead by Daylight. And I'm like, hey, how's it going? And it'll be immediately, like before the streamer even sees it, suddenly Dark Soccer OLR says, Rob, period. Rob, stop following me. Rob.
You say the same thing to me.
I do. It's a love fest.
But I think since you
name checked Puddin's earlier, I think he finds it funny. So
yeah, Puddin's thinks it's really funny. I mean, he's just adorable anyway. And I think we've done it in Nick's chat a couple of times too.
Mm-hmm. I've been in random people's chats and you're there somehow. I'm like, does she have four windows open? How does she do it?
Well, I'll sometimes make it into somebody's chat on a raid, like when I've been off doing something else. And I'll be like, oh, new person, follow Rob! Which, for the record, I'm actually really jealous of Nick right now because he's in Cabo.
Oh, is that where he went? I knew he was on vacation. All right, anyway, look, we got
to... I want to go. I'm jealous. We need to take an LA trip.
I am taking an LA trip, actually.
Take me.
In fact, I have to tell you guys, I'm not going to be here the last weekend of October because here's the thing. Look, I know you're going to understand Dark Soccer, and Loki, you'll be fine with it. I haven't seen Victoria in like a long time, and her birthday's at the end of October. For those of you that listened to Shaking and Crying back in the day, so I was like, Victoria, I'm coming down to Southern California. And she's like, yes. So that's a thing that's going to happen. Absolutely. So, speaking of friends, before we get into some gaming news tonight, I wanted to give a shout out to a Dragon Con friend of mine and a Kickstarter that they are doing. And I said, you know, usually I'm a little with plugging Kickstarters, but I know the person behind this one, so I know it will be something that's going to be a huge success. And it's not quite video games. It's a little bit different, but I think it's still adjacent. It's a gaming type, so I want to give a plug. This is one of the creators of Botched, which is a D&D podcast, who is doing a Kickstarter. It's about the story of Solomon, a man from a time long forgotten. Thrust into responsibility, he must decide how far he's willing to go in order to protect those he cares about. The consequences of desperate decisions leads to the world's first werewolf. This is Lycan, Solomon's Odyssey, a fully illustrated 60-page graphic novel, the first in an ongoing series. If you're interested in supporting a project more than 10 years in the making, you can search for Lycan, L-Y-C-A-N, Solomon's Odyssey on Kickstarter, or head over to www.hiveheadstudios.com or even clockfox.net, because Dennis has some really weird patrons. The project is already over 50% funded in its first week. I think it's on like week three now. I haven't checked in. It's probably already funded by this point, but I wanted to make sure I gave Dennis and that Kickstarter. Again, that's Lycan Solomon's Odyssey, a shout out right here on OLR. So let's move on. We got some other gaming news to get into. Let's start with Loki. And gaming news.
Yeah, so Gran Turismo 7 is confirmed to be always online. So that was something that was kind of shown off a little bit earlier this week. And then, so that's a nice piece considering how stable all of our internets are. And eventually, you know, it just may not work at all. But yeah, so it's going to be basically unplayable if you drop the internet because of all the online features and anti-cheat that they have going on with it. But apparently, you know, they had some questions regarding this decision, obviously, and you know why they went ahead and did that. They said the online connection won't be necessary for arcade mode because it doesn't impact your game's save file, but anything else, like the online connection is required for the campaign mode. The only part of the game that doesn't require online connection is the arcade mode because it has no effect on your save data, so that's possible. But anything that has to do with save data requires a connection. For example, delivery data, as well as something that's downloaded from an online server. I hate these kind of like always online games, but
You just know
that going in, I guess.
Well, know what you're getting into. That's the most important thing. But I've got to be honest, ever since Diablo 3 in 2006 and the beginning of this whole debate with the always online thing, and I not to completely compare the two because Diablo 3 had that whole trash real money store that they ended up getting rid of and all that stuff anyway, but it definitely was the catalyst for the first time I think the always online debate was really starting. And now here we are, what, like 15 years late? Has it been 15 years since Diablo 3's been out?
Jesus. I remember what was it, SimCity? It's impossible to run this without it being connected online.
Oh yeah, that was a
and
big one
it's
too.
Like, it's like, no, No, that was a big lie. Right now it's basically, to ward off cheaters, I guess. Because, as a person that plays video games, there is no cheating in online games. It is a place where cheaters just haven't been able to penetrate.
What? So. That game we never shut up about, Dead by Daylight, there's cheaters in matches in Dead by Daylight? What? Darksiders surely never have come across any of those.
There's no cheaters. It's online. Online, it has to be online, because otherwise cheating is possible. I mean, that is obviously means that there's no cheating online. I mean, clearly, this is the world we live in where it is impossible. It is just a fact that this is stupid, and I really wish they wouldn't do this. But I don't care because I don't have a PlayStation 5. I wouldn't be buying this game anyways because I don't really like simulation racing games.
Okay, but you say you don't care because it's not my thing until it is your thing, and then you're going to care. Because this is the way the industry – and this is what I really want to talk about is I feel like this is the way the industry is going. As much as we do not like these always online things, I don't know. I'm a little bit torn. Like, of course, there's things about it I don't like because I feel like internet connections aren't – and from my perspective, it's because internet connections aren't always stable. Internet gets knocked offline. Not a lot of games respond well to losing internet for even a couple seconds. Like, when the game can handle losing internet for 5 minutes or so, I'm a little more open to it. But you know how some games, like, the second you lose internet, it's, like, kicked out to the title screen, which is ridiculous. But I feel like it's inevitable this is where the industry is going. And it's – in a way, it's because of cheaters. And I think it's because – and yes, Loki, I know you say that tongue in cheek, like, what? There's no cheaters. But it does seem like there's a lot less of them when the game is always online. I feel like like whether we like it or not, this is where the industry is going to end up, is always online. Especially as more – especially when we start getting rid of the wires with the internet. And that's going to happen in 10 years. I've said that before on this show. By the time we're in our 50s doing this show, the internet is going to completely be wireless. It's going to be 5G and all that stuff, and there's not even going to be the wires anymore with it. And when its internet is literally like everywhere, it's going to be that they're going to put the games online. And I know everybody's going to have the what about scenario. What about this rural part of the country? What about this particular, place in another country that doesn't have a stable internet and stretch? I'm going to tell you, as hard as it is to hear, there's going to come a time when PlayStation, Microsoft, all these companies are going to run the numbers and they're going to say, well, you know what? We can make this always online and we might be putting 2.78% of gamers at risk. We're just going to have to write them off.
They'll just get Jay Allard to come out there and he'll say, hey, have you considered living in a place that has internet? I mean, come on. Yeah, I get that, and I get where they want to go with that, and a lot of people's internet is okay. It's not our internet that I'm worried about. It's their internet and their stupid servers that I would think is the most unreliable part of the whole thing. I mean, when people were trying to connect to Diablo 3, it wasn't that our internet sucked. It was that their servers sucked because they cheap out on servers or they do this scalable server thing that can't keep up with the demand for the game. So I just don't trust the game industry as a whole, I guess, is really what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I understand the, pessimism. I don't know what else to call it, but I get it. Like, the game industry has definitely shown that they will use these things for more, like, selfish-related purposes and so forth, and they want it to be always online so they can push more loot boxes and that sort of thing, but...
let's get that roadmap for our service stability. I can't wait. Sorry, we've heard your feedback, and we're going to really try to make our service better. Here's a roadmap of, like, where we're going to go with that. And, yeah, play your role, Sony.
We've heard your feedback and chosen to ignore it.
here's the thing, though. Like, I've got to be honest, though. I don't know about you guys, but, like, most of the games I play right now are always online. And I've come to accept that. Final Fantasy 14, MMO, of course, is always online. Dead by Daylight, competitive gaming, of course, is always online. And those are two of my biggest time sinks. Cookie Clicker has... No, okay, Cookie Clicker's offline now. It's on Steam. But there's, you know, more and more games I feel like I'm playing that kind of are always online, and I've just kind of come to accept it. But I guess, on the other hand, you have the Nintendo Switch, and insert LOL Nintendo Online joke here. But there's also the fact that that magical world I talked about where wireless internet is everywhere, we don't live in it yet. And so the Switch being a portable system, the games on that system kind of can't be always online unless it is, you know, a backbone of the game, i.e. Pokemon Unite, let's say. You expect that's going to be always online because, again, competitive game. You're playing online with others. But that system kind of can't do this yet. So, Questbuster in chat says, hugs Switch. Yes, it's interesting how sometimes the Switch lagging behind is actually a benefit to them.
It is never a benefit to them. We just give them such a pass because we like their games. It is not a benefit. They're starting to go towards an evil company type of route. Yeah, they make good games, okay? There's lots of people that like games from Activision and stuff like that, and some of their games are okay. But we give them such a pass for all this stupid bullshit that they do because of their stupid online service and stuff. It sucks ass, okay? There we go. It sucks. It is pathetic. If it was anybody else with that online service, if Microsoft had their online service, we would be bitching and moaning about their shit. So give it up for Nintendo, you fucking idiots that can't get your shit right for like decades now.
Give me a new goddamn
Mario Odyssey game.
Don't mince words. Tell us how you really feel.
I feel like you're upset, Loki. Do you need to?
No, I'm just. I don't really care. Like, honestly, like, it's just, they're gonna do whatever they want. They're gonna put out their Switch OLED or whatever. They're not really gonna address the issues for, like, their services. There's gonna be third-party companies that do their games better than them. Like, we have with the Nickelodeon All-Star stuff where their netcode is better.
Okay, that game's not out yet, though. Hold up. Do not put that game on a pedestal because we saw how PlayStation All-Stars was kind of meh.
You know what? We'll give it a few weeks to see, you know, that they've done
it better.
I
hope it is good. Like, don't get me wrong. I am rooting for that game. Except I don't think we're going to get Moose from You Can't Do That on Television as a playable character. So I'm a little upset about that. But yeah. I'll still support the game.
Maybe there's DLC.
Whatever happened to Christine?
Is it weird that I think I know? I think I fell down a Wikipedia black hole one night. She's like a TV producer now. It's like what a lot of like child actors end up being TV producers, and I think she's one of them. So, anyway, going in chat, because Loki's little tirade ended up getting some chat comments. Mike Deft in chat says, being honest, Nintendo's always been an evil company. Fifth Dream says, Loki's had a past with Nintendo and feels jilted. Dark Tetsuya.
Why their games? Like, I don't. It's just that, like, let's be honest here. Like, yeah, okay, we like their games, but their online service is garbage. It is garbage.
Yeah.
Like just now, like, oh, hey, we're bringing you brand new features to our console that everybody has had for decades now. It's like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, like, I agree. I don't maybe agree as passionately as Loki does, but there's a extent where I go, yes, Nintendo makes some of the greatest games in the industry, like, period. Mario Odyssey, Zelda Breath of the Wild, you know, the list goes on, Smash Brothers, the list goes on and on. Nintendo makes the greatest games in the industry, and I think that's why we all sit here going, these games that are a 10 could be an 11 or a 12 if they would just stop dropping the ball online. But it's this weird thing where it's like Nintendo does what they want to do with online, and it works for them. As much as we get frustrated seeing the potential, they see that potential and they say, we don't want it. And
they did the
it still
bare
works
minimum.
For them.
They did the, they're doing like the absolute
but they're not
bare
selling
minimum.
The bare minimum. That's the price. If the sales
you
were
know
matching
what,
that.
You know what they're doing really well with online is they're harassing their stupid community with all of the fan. Like, I want to show you that I love your series. So now I'm going to get a cease and desist for it. You know what? Like, treat your fans with some goddamn respect for one. How about that, Nintendo? Like, I don't know. Whatever. They're going to do whatever they want. We're just going to buy their games. So let's call it that.
Let's move on to our next topic, Loki. What about all the good things Nintendo's done? And here's one that Nintendo did. And it's not like it was, what, like 3 or 4 years late to the party or anything like that. However, now, Loki, are you gonna acknowledge this? Are we going to get a woohoo, a thumbs up, a gold star? Nintendo,
so can
has,
I voice chat in games now without having to have a separate app on my phone?
That separate app is Discord, yes. Nintendo has finally added Bluetooth audio to the Switch. That's right. You can now use, for example, I don't know if you've known, those that are watching on Twitch, sorry to the podcast crowd, but those that watch on Twitch probably subtly notice I have these little devices in my ear, and this allows me to hear Dark Sakura and Loki in my ear. Because the TV is not really the best audio sometimes during the show that we had when we were in person. So these little earbuds that I have allow me to hear. And it's a Bluetooth connection to my phone, which also sits on Discord with all of us when we're doing the show. My point is I can finally use these little Bluetooth AirPod headphones on my Nintendo Switch.
I'm surprised they didn't charge you for that feature. Like, seriously, it's just... it's stupid.
That would have been funny if it was a Nintendo Online subscription thing, right in time for the renewals to come up.
They probably wanted to.
All right, but it's not. It's not, just to be clear, it is not a pay thing. It is part of the latest Switch update. You can now use Bluetooth devices for audio output. Nintendo does say there may be some latency, so I wouldn't use this to play your music games. But hooray, this feature is finally here. To make it work, make sure that no more than 2 wireless controllers are currently connected. It's too much for the system to handle if you have more than 2. By the way, a pair of Joy-Cons is 2. So you may use, Loki, that's 1 pair of Joy-Con controllers and wireless audio. So if you want to play a game with 2 players, with 4 pairs, 2 pair, 4 Joy-Con, no Bluetooth audio for you. Number 2. No, Loki, I'm not finished. Turn on your Bluetooth device and set it to searchable. And then from the home menu, open system settings, scroll down to Bluetooth audio and select pair. Number 5, select your Bluetooth audio device when it's found. And 6, once connected, any audio to this played will be output through your Bluetooth device. Be sure to adjust the system volume to a comfortable level. So, pairing additional controllers will require you to disconnect a Bluetooth audio device, and you can pair 1 Bluetooth audio device at a time, but up to 10 can be saved on a Switch. I don't know who has 10 pair of Bluetooth audio around their house, but there you go. Loki, any thoughts?
It's so stupid. It is. It's just so stupid.
Let's see. Dijarama S says there's a reason why Sony and Microsoft don't support Bluetooth audio. What is? I'm actually curious what that reason is. Tiger Claw says if you want to use 4 controllers but need Bluetooth audio, you can just buy a portable Bluetooth transmitter, plug it to the headphone jack of the Switch, and then play your Bluetooth device to pair, I think is the word, pair your Bluetooth device to it. I didn't even think of that as a workaround. I bet that does have lag, though. But that does work. Tiger Claw's got an interesting solution there.
Like, and I get it, like, where people want their... Honestly, like, I think the best solution so far has been what Microsoft and Sony have done with their controllers, where they have headphone jacks in the controllers. I mean, because that just works perfectly for me, because the controller's wireless. I just pop in, you know, my headphones, and that's that. If I have wireless headphones, then... you know, I use different headphones. I don't know. Whatever. It's good job, Nintendo. At least you supported it, I guess, even though that's really crap.
Boy, oh boy. All right. So there you go. The Nintendo has finally caught up with the Bluetooth, and now you can use AirPods, etc. But not all Bluetooth audio, as pointed out in our chat. Can you do that? DJ Rama S.
It almost sounds like that they need a more powerful console to be able to do all these features, like that they should have, I don't know, put a little bit of oomph under the engine there that console's been running there, because it sounds like it can't handle half of the stuff they're trying to throw at it.
DJ Rama S. says, lag and latency is the reason. Sony and Microsoft use RF for wireless audio or something along those lines. I have a PlayStation 4 headset. I swore that was a Bluetooth headset.
It's Wi-Fi Direct, I think, if I remember correctly. So it basically, it connects via Wi-Fi to your console, as like your console's almost like a hotspot, and so it does it that way, which is fine. You know, I guess they could do that. But I don't know. Like, there's so many better options.
All right, let's move on. We're gonna go to our next story, Dark Sakura.
It would help if I would actually, if it would unmute when I hit the unmute button. Anyway.
It's just lagged, like Nintendo's audio.
Speaking of audio. So there was actually a report put out by Billboard that Twitch and the National Music Publishers Association, the NMPA, are going to be signing a music agreement that would basically end the DMCA nonsense going on with Twitch. You know, Twitch was taking down streams, taking down channels for DMCA copyright, which also along the same lines is what led to me making my own music for my channel. You know, a lot of people, when they play music on there, they'll have the VOD exclude it, you know, yep. Which I can't do the way I have to route my sounds through my Mac. But basically, they're thinking that it could be announced by the end of this month, September. But we're going to wait and see. But basically, they've been trying to get this together for some time, and we might finally see fruition. I just hope that it works out better.
Yeah, and as far as I know, even if this were to go through, we here at VOG Network aren't really going to change our policy of relying on Dark Sakura custom creations / overclocked remix, you know, things where we know we have the blanket license to use them on the network. However, it might make us a little more open to, okay, we can play a video game trailer that has licensed music in it because we won't get sued to oblivion for playing the trailer. So that would be a nice welcome to that.
Exactly. And I mean, it would be nice just to play like some ambient tunes in the background, you know.
Yeah.
Like I would,
oh, during that
I
normal
would
Twitch
like,
streams, yeah.
I would like to do the ambient music ASMR fake match because I hate ASMR, and my version would just be me. So I just hit this person, and they're an asshole. Because everyone wants to hear me complain in a really smooth voice.
I think that'd be hilarious.
I am here to ruin your day, and you're going to go up on the hook of shame. Death hook for Cutie.
Oh, my gosh. You know, it's actually kind of funny hearing, like, just things that I've randomly come up with being spoken by other people. If people would actually buy my Death Hook for Cutie shirt, I would be happy. But, no, I would think, like, it would be like, so, we're here trying to get boops. And no one has yet booped my snoot. Therefore, you all die. Growl.
SG100 Matt says OLR NPR. No, I don't think we would change the hosting of our show. But maybe we could do a channel point reward or something. We haven't had one of those in a while. We need to get those back on track. We'll do a channel point reward where we do an NPR style news show or something. That might be fun. Mm-hmm.
OPR.
OPR. That's actually really funny. I kind of like that idea. All right. Sia Tiberian chat says, I'm sorry, next paycheck comes this week. I just spent all my money at Dollywood. So jealous of your life, Sia Tiberi. So jealous of your life. I'm so upset.
Thank
you
for putting money in St. Dolly's pockets.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm only saying that out of complete and utter jealousy. Dollywood is on my bucket list of places to go, that's for sure. Anyway. All right, let's move on. We have more stuff. I do hope the Twitch music license thing, though, does happen. I think, you know, it'll just be a good thing to, like, not have all these random DMCA things going around, and especially, like, the false positives are super annoying, and we're always kind of, like, on edge. Like, I was kind of referencing, you know, VOG Network. We don't really play licensed music, but we're really nervous sometimes about playing, you know, news-related things because it might even have just a little bit of sound, and then, oh, false positive, we got a strike. This is very silly. All right. Let's move on. Loki. Let's visit some old friends with this story.
Yes. Yes. Wait.
Okay. I know. Yes, you already said who they are, but yes, these are old friends, but these are old friends where, like, you really lost touch over the last 15 years and your lives went in very different directions. And like this friend, Konami, in this place, like they fell into a pit of despair. Like they've been, they're not holding down a job for very long. They allegedly may have gotten into some drugs. They have not, you know, had any stability in their life whatsoever. They have a rough life. And so when we're checking in on our friend, it's kind of like one of those, the potential this friend of ours could have had.
Alas.
Anyway, Konami, yeah. What are they up to?
So they're killing off their Pro Evolution Soccer franchise, or Winning 11, as it's known in Japan. And instead, out of its husk comes eFootball.
Yeah, that's been out there. I remember talking about eFootball and thinking, whoa. I mean, I guess I get that maybe not everybody understands Winning 11, but I thought the franchise sold pretty well. I don't understand why they needed... Okay.
Well, now it's eFootball, so eFootball is a free-to-play game, and with that available now on the PlayStation and Microsoft storefronts, you can now pre-order the eFootball 2022 Premium Player Pack. That's right, you can pre-order loot boxes. So they're going to have this player pack, which is $40, and it comes with the core game, which is free-to-play, so that doesn't really come with anything. A bunch of in-game currency, and 6 chance deals, which are the loot boxes, or 8 if you pre-order. So, yeah, the chance deals allow players to randomly sign one athlete from a group of top-tier ambassador and partner club players like Lionel Messi and Neymar. So, yeah, Konami pushing... I don't even know. But, yeah, so apparently, though,
while the entire industry is trying to get away from loot boxes because they fear the congressional legislation,
like, no,
Konami's like, run straight for it!
It's fine because it's free to play, right?
Bonds 006 says free for $29.99.
Yeah, it's free to play, but you're paying $40. So is it really free to play at that point?
SSJ100 Matt says, Konami is that college friend that you haven't seen in a while and then suddenly see them on the highway exit ramp as a sign guy person for a local cell phone shop. No. Look, I have respect for the dancing sign people, especially in that 105 degree heat here in Sacramento. Here's what it is. Konami is that friend that you stopped at the gas station and you look over there and you see this guy who's not wearing a shirt and you're like, is that guy peeing in the ice machine?
No. No, Konami is the person that you were friends with in high school that contacted you out of the blue on Facebook and tries to sign you up for an MLM. That's Konami. Mm.
Konami is the one that comes out of the blue saying, have you ever tried Herbalife? It's done wonders for me.
No, I would think that Konami is just like... that friend that you used to do all this stuff with, you know, like you play D&D with them, and you go to the arcade with them, and you'd hang out, and then they just start ghosting you and getting new friends. they're casino friends.
Our chat's losing it right now. No, specifically casino friends. You're right on the money there. All right. best of luck to Konami with eFootball. I guess there's those, it's not on the show roll tonight, but there's those rumors about the Castlevania Advance collection. That's what it is now. Somebody had made this joke. It already scrolled off the screen for me, but licensing Silent Hill for beer money. That isn't too far from what seems to be happening, is that they've licensed out these Castlevania games in order to buy whatever they're buying. Because I think it's great. If that's true, it's great news. Those Castlevania events. I mean, how many times have we had Symphony of the Night released? I'm not saying it's a bad thing. That's one of the greatest games ever made, period. But, I like the Advance games too. And the other stuff that kind of came from that, you know, because of Symphony of the Night, and we haven't seen really re-releases of those in quite some time. So That's some good things, I guess, even if Konami has had to, you know, sell the rights away for these, you know, questionable things. They had to sell their nudes. All right. Anyway, let's move on. let's get to our next story, which I think is Dark Sakura's. Or is it, no, is mine?
I just did. What did I do?
It might be mine. Sorry. Maybe I'm
it's
the,
yours.
Maybe I'm the one that needs to.
We just did Konami.
All right. It's my turn. Sorry. Let's talk about Ubisoft. Which, if they don't make some changes there with the management, they might be destined for infamy and not some not-so-great ways as well. So some ex-Ubisoft devs have opened a brand new studio. Nesting Games is a new studio that's up in Quebec, in Canada. And it is officially co-owned by the Italian publisher Digital Bros. What's interesting, Nesting was created back in August by folks that used to be with Ubisoft, you know, because Ubisoft has a pretty, excuse me, I'm about to sneeze. This is terrible radio.
Bless you.
And of course, it went away the minute I said that. The minute I called it out, it's like it went away.
It, typically for me, it happens when someone says bless you beforehand.
All right. Anyway, if I just do that out of the blue, apologies in advance, because that's what will happen. Anyway, Nesting was formed back in August, and it was former Ubisoft employees. And they've said, this is an interesting kind of like quote in this whole, like, we're partnering with the Italian publisher. We want to go back to creating RPGs that are focused on immersion, great characters, powerful storytelling, and strong gameplay. We are moving away from the massive open world model, full of icons to clean up, and returning to experiences that are content-driven and ultimately respect the player's time. Whether you play our games for 30 minutes or a two-hour session, what you will get is always interesting content and a gratifying experience, which have led many people to go, is that shade? Is that shade? Because they're kind of saying in there, we're not going to do these messy things that other that basically they're saying they used to do. Kind of interesting there.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Anyway, and then they go on to say, we felt from day one we're part of the family of Digital Brothers and blah, blah, blah. Nice words there about that whole partnership. The first AAA project that Nesting Games is working on, a narrative-focused single-player RPG based on a brand new property. It's going to be Rassassin's Need. No, I'm just kidding. It's something else. Probably going to distance itself from that whole property completely. But yeah, that probably means you won't have to fill out all these parts on the map. That's kind of what they're saying with that. So looking forward to see what they make there. We'll see. Questbuster in chat says it's definitely shade. E3VL says the last Assassin's Creed game had way too much padding. Questbuster says, well, at least they won't have players.
Too much junk in the trunk?
Yeah, potentially.
For the Ass Creed?
Anyway, that's not the only story we have about these studios that are in need of some makeovers, right? We have a continuing issue, a little reminder about the continuing issues with this company, Dark Sakura.
So, earlier in this week, some of the employees at Activision Blizzard, with the Communications Workers of America, the CWA, which is a media labor union, filed unfair labor practices suit with the National Labor Relations Board, the NLRB, that accused the company of worker intimidation and union busting. It's just, you know, adding more and more and more to the other shit that's hitting the fan. This is like when the shit goes past the fan and then it hits some smaller fans and spreads out like a fine shitty mist. Just imagine. Don't actually live through it. Anyway, this is, of course, coming after suit from the DFEH, the Department of Fair Employment and Housing, for gender-based discrimination and harassment. There's been walkouts. They have banded with other employees from other companies. And we've seen these other companies that have the same allegations rising try to do something about it. So they're really moving into very union-like territory, using collective action for improvement of their working conditions. Now, the thing is that there's not really unions. And we've talked about this before in the video game industry, and it really should be.
but they're basically doing union behavior without actually unionizing. Make sense?
Oh, yeah.
But basically, the big thing that's standing in the way, in part, is American law favoring employers. Now, in California, it's a little bit different. You know, my mom likes to say, oh, you live in a bubble there in California. And it's true. We kind of do. We do have some pretty strong labor laws in California in particular. Like this suit, I don't know that something like this would have flown somewhere else, you know. But right now, while people are in favor of having unions, it's difficult because employers right now have different ways to intimidate their workers and to provide barriers for unionization, you know. Especially with this really dangerous rhetoric, oh, it's going to hurt the employees, or oh, it's going to hurt our profits, and then we can't pay our employees, and you know. Yeah. So if people don't understand this, there's actually, and there are some ways to create a union, or for a private sector union to be recognized. So so basically, either 30% of the workers can petition to hold a union election, and then the NLRB steps in for that, or an employer can voluntarily recognize a union. The first one is usually the big one, but sometimes it can be really manipulated, right?
Right.
And then companies they hire other companies that exist to do nothing but union busting.
Which is allegedly what ABK kind of did. They had that company that came in that was kind of involved with some of that stuff. So it's just like, well, yeah, anyway, sorry.
I'm going to be getting to it. Okay. But at any rate, well, and just to go on then, that actually happened in Alabama. They're trying to unionize in Alabama for Amazon, and Amazon pulled in one of those companies. Basically, the way that they do this is they do propaganda, surveillance, mandatory anti-union meetings, delay tactics, intimidation, retaliation. But it was basically Amazon pulling this on them, where they put a mailbox. Number one, they were distributing anti-union materials, and they put a mailbox outside their warehouse. And so the workers were thinking that Amazon was helping to tally the votes, and so it was stealing their votes. And the NLRB basically said Amazon was interfering and had a rerun of the election. And a lot of this, though, just an example like that, is the same stuff is happening here with our video game companies, and we've seen it. And now, even though the Activision Blizzard people haven't really pushed for unionization, they did bring in Wilmer Hale to do a third-party investigation about those workplace issues from the lawsuit. Activision Blizzard did. But Winter Hale is, and I'm going to quote here, a known union busting law firm. So they're just doing their same tactics. They're not doing anything better. And by third party, it means third party that's going to go in their interest. Activision Blizzard had a statement also that says, we care deeply about our employees' rights and have made great efforts to respect the rights of all employees under the NRB, which is bullshit. But even with all of this going on, even with them, you know, pulling in their union busting, all of that, there is a collection of employees called A Better ABK. They're saying that unionization is not their goal, but they are using very union-like tactics to improve the way things work in a company. Basically, if the company is going to bully them, they're going to bully right back. And there's power in numbers.
Yeah. And the employee letter has still not been responded to.
Well, and another employee, and this is an anonymous employee, said that they felt, I'm going to quote a little bit here, that in this moment, collective action and solidarity with each other without a union is the best solution in a place where a lot of people are scared of the concept of unionization because of the slew of anti-union propaganda that has pervaded our country. You know, we still have other employees at other companies like EA Dice, Paradox, Nexon, Ubisoft. They use some of the trade unions in their relative countries, like in Sweden, in France, to help their employees out. But other ones have used the very similar non-union yet union tactics to bring about the real change in the company and protect the employees. So I think it's a very interesting approach. You know what I mean? That they are putting together their own, I'm going to call it a task force. Does that sound like a good term? A task force, not a union.
It sounds kind of like that, even if they're not labeling it that. Sure. I'm with you there.
But it is collective action mm-hmm. for positive change. You know, think of it like almost, okay, I hate to say it because I think that the whole last election here was a joke.
The recall or the presidential?
The recall.
Okay.
The recall. But if you think of it kind of like how our recall elections go, you know, enough people were pissed off about shit that they got together and got enough signatures on it that they put it to a vote, right?
Right.
In their eyes, recalling Newsom was a good idea. And they wanted to get together and make this happen. And so the vote happened, you know, but it's kind of along the same lines. You know, you get people together with a common goal and a common vision and they can move mountains. They don't necessarily have to be called a union to be a union of people.
All right. Let's.
We could do this in this country on a very big scale if people would get off their asses and actually do shit.
If we elect people that actually represent those values, yes. All right. Before we get to our next story, Loki, I hope you won't mind. I'm going to do a little interrupt here because I want to get an update. I want to bring an old friend of OLR. Sorry, I didn't warn you guys, but you'll know what's happening. I want to bring an old friend of OLR onto the show here. So we're going to bring in our pal Shane into the room and talk a little bit about today's Pokemon Community Day, because I know I have a very big question here in this whole experience, and that is I want to know how much shiny Pokemons Shane was able to get today. So I think Shane is there. Hi, you with us, Shane?
Yeah, kind of.
Hi,
I'm super tired.
You're tired. You don't say. So today in Pokemon Go was a little bit of like a holy holiday, right? Can you give us a little
really
background?
Was. So today was Oshawott Community Day, and if you have ever heard me talk like any sentence out of my mouth, you know that Oshawott is the Pokemon I would literally die for. So it was very important.
But let me ask you this. I mean, aren't you kind of over Pokemon Go? Like, why, if you
yeah,
don't really care about Pokemon Go, why do you care?
Because I care about Oshawott. Oshawott trumps my hatred for this game. Like, they could put Oshawott in Fortnite, and I'd probably start playing Fortnite. No, I would, because Oshawott would be there. Not even I probably would.
I see. So quickly, how did you plan to collect as many shiny, and why shinies? Why does it have to be shiny Oshawotts? Why not just a bunch of regular Oshawotts?
Well, I did both, but because shinies is like my thing in Pokemon. After I complete the Dex in a game, it's like all I do is shiny hunt. It's like, I don't know, if people get a thrill out of like actually hunting animals for whatever reason, that's the same thing I get, but without killing animals with weapons, with shiny hunting. It's just like, it's going to take a while sometimes, it's rare usually, and it's just fun. I just like it.
So overall, quickly, I don't want to spend too much time, but what was like your plan of attack today? How did you plan to maximize the shiny Oshawott hunting across 6 hours.
So my plan to start was to get there about 30 minutes early so I can make sure people didn't put up stupid lures on the stops, like, because I wanted rainies on them instead of, like, I don't know, somebody could put like a grass or a mossy lure or whatever. And I had planned on basically just nonstop checking and just catch the shinies, basically. But that did change because my husband came with me. And so I did kind of tone it down. And we got there only like 20 minutes early. And for probably about 3.5, 4 of the hours, the first 4, 3.5, we kind of just leisurely walked around the area and caught basically everything. I ran out of balls like 4 times today.
Uh-oh. Did you actually spend money for more, or what did you do?
Yes. Well, yes and no. I actually kind of thought that might be a problem. So I got like an Apple gift card a while back, and I loaded it on my account, and then I just used it because I wasn't going to spend it on anything else. So it wasn't like extra money. It was planned money.
Okay. So when all is said and done, Shane, how many shiny Oshawott did you walk away with today?
87.
Good Lord.
What are you going to do with 87 shiny Pokemon?
Keep them in the game. I don't know. They're just going to sit there and be adorable. Like, do they have to have a reason?
It's not like they're taking up any space.
Yeah, just, I mean, they're taking up Pokemon space, but that's fine. That's fine.
It's not like real life space. You don't have to put it somewhere.
No, no. It's all on my phone.
Have you named all 87?
No, I haven't named any of them. I didn't make out too great today in terms of like 4 stars. I got 0 4-stars and only a few 3 stars. So I evolved some, and yeah, they're just going to sit there. I probably got rid of, or I say blended because it's just funnier when you think that you threw them in a blender, but I blended probably around 400 regular Oshawott today during my 6 hours. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot.
Mike Deft in chat, who is a very Pokemon tuned person, says it's like crazy Shane got that many. I don't even think the top players get that many shinies in a community day. And yet you have to, I knowing you as long as I have, you have to be upset you didn't get 100.
Okay. So I kept setting goals for myself throughout the day. My first goal was to at least get as many shinies as Gible Day, because that was my best one so far. I got like, I don't remember, I think like 61. And so I was like, okay, I have to meet that goal. And then when I met that goal, I was like, okay, I would like to at least get 70. It was really early. I beat the first goal probably about 4 hours in. And then once I got 70, I was like, oh, come on, let's just do 100. But it didn't happen. So, it's sad.
Usually, and there's no guarantee it'll happen again this year, but I don't see why it wouldn't happen. In December, they usually do an encore event where they bring.
Yes, I'll get more.
So is your goal to top 100 once we get to December?
Yeah, literally, when that community day happens, I can't think of another Pokemon that's come out this year for community day that I'm even going to care about. So I'll only check Oshawott's. Everything else is just trash. So,
and for the record and for comparison's sake, I also did community day today, and I did all Bluetooth catching. I actually was playing Ingress because there's an event going on in that game too. And I said, you know, usually I do all right with Bluetooth catching. I'm not Shane. I'm happy if I get 3 shiny Oshawott so I can have one of each, you know, evolution. It's a cute Pokemon. I just don't have the same personal thing that Shane's got with Oshawott. So I was like, I'm happy if I get 3. I had 9 in 30 minutes, and I was like, honestly, I could quit right now, and I'm satisfied. But
oh yeah,
I started the day with 600 balls, and so I was like, whatever, I'm still working on Ingress stuff, so I'll just keep going. So I probably played for about 3 hours while I did Ingress stuff. I ended with 21. I had 21 shiny Oshawott's today, which for me, oddly, I got a 100 Caterpie today. It didn't even hatch. It was a wild Caterpie. 100. I don't know how the fuck that happened, but whatever. No Hundo Oshawott, sadly. But yeah, I got 21 shinies without really trying. And I'm told Alan, who hasn't really played Pokemon Go in quite some time, actually took out his phone today and just kind of poked at it between Dead by Daylight matches and said he got 2 shinies today. He said he got about 1 for every 50 that he was looking at.
It's not bad. I should have just kind of given up on it. Was all because I wanted a 4-star, because I have a 4-star shiny Superior. And I was like, oh, if I could get an Oshawott and get, you know, all the way up to Samurott, it's a shiny 100%, I'd be so happy. So if I had given up on that chase a little earlier, I could have got 100 shinies, no problem. No problem at all.
Your best chance for the hundo is to do lucky trades. Like, next time I see you and we're lucky friends, like, we just trade 0-star Oshawotts on a lucky trade, and you might get 100. The last time I did a lucky trade, I got 100% out of it.
Dustin and I, we always do 1 shiny trade since that's all you can do. And, you know, it wasn't great. And then we're like, let's do a regular trade. So the second trade we did was a lucky trade. It wasn't 100, but it was still lucky. And I got so mad.
And SJ100 Matt says, I was impressed with my 30 today. That's nothing compared to Shane. No, 30 is impressive, y'all. Shane is sick. Like don't compare yourself to Shane in this, because you're never going to be happy. Like, Shane is sick. So
let's see what my total shiny count is. I've got my phone right now. So on my phone, I have 1,287 shinies from Pokemon Go, and that's not including ones I've transferred into the main games. So
I think I have maybe 400 shinies. I don't know. I'm bringing up Pokemon Go right now to check how many shinies I have. Let me ask you this question. I don't want to derail the whole show with Pokemon Go chat, but people want to actually know. So Mike Deft is asking, did you use any fast catching technique in particular? What is your technique to catch 87 shinies?
Okay. Oh, so I refuse to fast catch shinies. I will not do it. I fast catch the regulars. Like, if I tap it and, well, until I ran out of balls, I was like, oh, just fast catch everything. So, you know, hold the Pokeball down, slide it over to the left, and then throw and run away. And that's great. It's super good for catching regulars, but I don't trust it for shinies. Like, I have to sit there and make sure it's actually in the ball, or I'll get very upset.
I have 446 shinies, and I thought I was cool. And Mike Def says 1,117. Y'all.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
He's right behind me.
Wow. All right. Shane, I know you have some homework and some other things to get to tonight, but do you have any other...
Yeah, I decided to not do it, so whatever.
Well, then I'll see you on Final Fantasy later. Do you have any other... you and I need to... I know Jamie does stuff Sunday nights after the show, but during the week, you and I need to do some more Final Fantasy 14 streaming and talking about that 7-hour stream, which we'll get to later in the show. I haven't got to it yet, but...
For all of it. I did it.
I know.
Every minute.
Well, quickly, I haven't got. What was your favorite part of that 7-hour stream for Final Fantasy 14?
A couple quick favorite parts. 1, the title screen reveal, because that was just beautiful. 2, everything about Reaper. 3, everything about Sage. 4, the summoner rework.
Okay. Sounds good. Shane, I'm going to let you go. Thank you for sharing your experience with Pokemon Go community today, because you're crazy when it comes to catching shinies, especially Oshawott. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you caught at least, 87, that's pretty good. Like, everybody's sitting here going, nobody catches that many. So I know you're sad you didn't hit 100, but like, you probably caught more than anyone else on the planet, or close, really close, I'm sure. Any other thoughts before I let you go?
No.
Okay. Then I'll talk to you later.
All right, bye.
All right, bye. All right, thank you, Shane, for joining us here on the show. I appreciate that. And that was kind of last minute notice, because I knew there were going to be some listeners that would want to know, what did his crazy ass do with Pokemon Day, especially today.
Right.
I know. 80. That is 87.
I kept waiting to say in a row, but that was supposed to be 37.
Over 6 hours. That's like 12 an hour. That's 1 every 5 minutes. And Alan said like 1 in 50 would be shiny. Whew. Impressive. All right, Loki, I'm sorry to make you wait, but you get it. What's next on the news for you? You're muted, by the way, Loki. I understand. You had to contain all your excitement during Shiny Ocelot Dot.
I did. You know. So there is the 10th anniversary of THQ Nordic, and they basically celebrated their 10th anniversary by having a little live stream where they announced some things. So first thing we've got is Destroy All Humans 2 Reprobed, which is a remake of Destroy All Humans, or I guess remaster. And no, it is a remake, and it is being made in Unreal 4. So that's going to be coming out on all modern consoles and PC. SpongeBob SquarePants, The Cosmic Shake. It's a new 3D platformer game with SpongeBob. Jagged Alliance 3. We have Outcast 2, A New Beginning. And Superpower 3. And then MX vs. ATV Legends were the games that were announced. Also, to tie in with their 10th anniversary, there is a sale right now on Steam. And also a couple free games. You can get Titan Quest Anniversary Edition and Jagged Alliance 1 Gold Edition for free. So, neat. I don't know. I didn't play the new Destroy All Humans, but it looked pretty cool. I like the second game, too, so maybe I'll have to check it out.
Was there anything in particular you were looking forward to during that stream?
No, I didn't even know the stream even happened. I didn't watch it live. I think
I heard about it like an hour before, but I wasn't available.
Yeah, it's there's not a lot from THQ that I'm excited about nowadays. I don't remember if they used to do the Saints Row stuff. So back in the day, I would be excited about that kind of thing. But now that's a whole separate company that handles that. So oh well.
All right. One more story before we get to our regular segment here. But you know I love my AR gaming, GPS gaming, and all that stuff. Like I just mentioned, today I was playing Ingress and Pokemon Go. I was dual wielding, playing one on my phone while I'm Bluetoothing with the other, using my real-world location to play both. And because I like, GPS gaming, I've tried them all. I've literally tried them all, if it's on iPhone anyway. There's been a couple Android-only ones I haven't played, but for the most part, I've tried them all. And I was looking forward to trying this one, but this game got canceled before it even came out, and that kind of surprised me. It was a Niantic game. Of course, Niantic, being the makers of Pokemon Go, they're kind of at the forefront of a lot of these AR and GPS games. And that game is Catan World Explorers. The game never came out. It came out in certain countries for testing, but it didn't come out in the U.S., so as far as I'm concerned.
Like the Settlers of Catan?
Yeah, Settlers of Catan, the board game. They were turning into like a real-world AR game. And they have decided they will shut the game down on November 18th. So if you were in one of the countries, I think it was in Australia, New Zealand, and a few, like Denmark maybe, and one country in Asia I think had it too. So it was in a few countries, but I never got to play it. And it's all about me, or at least that's how I feel in the moment. So I never will get to play it. They are pulling the game. It's hard to tell what the hell happened. They left a really weird note. And in the note, it said, "We had a vision for trading, harvesting, and building up the world in seasonal play and resetting the board each month, just like you do for each game you play at home. But trying to adapt such a well-designed board game to a global, location-based, massively multiplayer online game was a tough challenge." Now, I don't know nothing about what's happening behind the scenes, but I got a good guess based on this statement. I think Catan pulled the license. I don't think they were happy with the product that Niantic came up with for whatever reason. And it's their, whether I agree with it or not, it's their artistic license to be able to do so. That's when you say, like, we had a vision, but trying to adapt this didn't work. Like, it really is screaming to me. The Catan holders didn't like what you came up with. But you were sticking to your guns with the game you made. And what further kind of goes with that, they talk about how the lessons that they learned while working on World Explorers will go to future projects. It's almost screaming to me that, like, Niantic is going to reskin Catan and make it a different game.
Wow, that sounds just like a Nintendo thing.
No, not Pikmin. I'm going to stop you there because Pikmin, they've said, is going to be out by the end of the year. So Pikmin is happening, and it's a different thing. And I don't know much about it. I hear it's AR gaming light. It's not going to be a very involved game. I think it'll probably be even more aimed at kids than Pokemon is. But that is all speculation. I don't know until I play the game myself and give you my own impressions. But still, to hear that Niantic, the minds behind Pokemon Go, had to shut down a game before it even came out is shocking. So it's just crazy. Dark Tetsuya agrees with my logic, saying, yes, that sounds like what probably happened. Tiger Claw says, maybe it was something that sounded good on paper, but trying to make it didn't pan out. Yeah, apparently when they met at the table the first time, they had an idea. Or the Catan people were like, you made Pokemon Go? Fuck yeah, we want to work with you. And then when Niantic said, here's the game we made, the Catan people went, yikes!
This isn't Pokemon Go. This isn't Pokemon Go. Was it the Harry Potter game?
Because the Harry Potter game is fucking Pokemon. Well, the Harry Potter game, and that it has its own issues with it because I hate her, the one behind it. But obviously, she has nothing to do with the game. But it's
The game has good combat to it.
Exactly, the game has that combat that's actually pretty rad. Like I actually way prefer fighting in Harry Potter. Keep in mind, I haven't played it in like a year and a half.
Yeah, same.
But the fighting in that game is way better than any raid in Pokemon Go or PvP. And it's not that much more complicated, but it's just it feels like there's more to it, you know? Anyway. Dark Tetsuya says, Catan is all resource gathering and that sort of thing, right? An AR game based on that does sound kind of neat. Hey, if I have any friends at Niantic that are listening, I doubt it, but I'm always going to take the shot. You guys should give Sid Meier a call and say, hey.
I knew you were going to say that.
Did you? Yeah, you should give Sid Meier a call and say, hey, we really like Civilization. Why not?
Do Civ Nation.
Civ Planet or something. Civ World. Civilization Explorers.
Civilized
fuck
World.
It. Fuck it.
That doesn't exist.
If Catan doesn't want it, fuck it. Do Civilization Explorers. I'm all for it. Of course, that kind of sounds like something different than a game. But anyway. All right. let's go. Dark Tetsuya in chat says, right, that was going to be my next sentence. Can they do something with Civilization? You know what, I'm going to tweet them right now. Will you all please retweet and like my status?
I liked SSJ100 Matt's comment there. Maybe Niantic was trying to work on it from 40 meters away and it didn't work because they were 80 meters away.
I missed that comment, but it's gold. All right. Let's go to our next segment and talk about times when we didn't even have phones that could play games. Our phones could play Snake. Actually, when this game came from, the phone was maybe in the car. It was in the limo because you had to be that rich. Let's get to our next segment.
Now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
And what did you pick for the classic game this week, Dark Sakura?
I picked Aleste. And I'm sorry, by the way, if I sound a little funny, I had to put my mouth brace in because my mouth hurts.
You sound fine.
Sorry. Okay. So Aleste came out in 1988. It's a shooter game done by Compile. And it originally came out on the Sega Master System and then later on the MSX2 by CP Communications. Outside of the U.S., the Master System version was released as a game called Power Strike. And then, of course, we had all kinds of sequels and derivatives from both versions of it. So basically, the story of Aleste in general is there's a man-made supercomputer called the DIA-51 that had been infected by a virus that was spreading. And eventually the machine that's infected with it wants to eliminate people. And so when the computer attack hurts this dude's girlfriend, Yuri, then Ray, the guy, gets in a plane and goes shooting. Because that's what you do. Anyway, like I said, it came out for the Master System. That's February 1988. And then came out as Power Strike, which in the U.S. it was mail-only limited edition. But it did get some retail love over from Toys R Us and a couple other chains in North America. And in Europe, it was regular retail. The game actually has had many other releases and different, like the MSX2 version itself had had extra stages, two new stages, lower difficulty, and a bunch of cutscenes, which is pretty cool. It has been ported by Squenix to phones. And then it was re-released, the MSX2 version was re-released on the Wii's the Virtual Console in Japan. And then also with Aleste 2 was released through the Woomb service, W-O-O-M-B. You know, for an MSX revival. In the U.S., like I said, the Sega Master System version was called Power Strike. And it was received very well. It got some really good reviews. So now for all of the sequels, of which there have been many, and even a canceled one. And I've even spoken about one of the games here in this segment. I figure it's time to go back to the original. So followed by this, we had Aleste Gaiden, which was on MSX2. We had Aleste 2, which is also MSX2. We had Musha Aleste, which came out on the Mega Drive. And I think I have done Musha. We had GG Aleste, which was Game Gear Aleste. We had Super Aleste for the SNES. It came out in the U.S. as Space Megaforce. Sound familiar? On Sega CD, we had Denin Aleste, which was Robo Aleste over here. Also, Game Gear, we had GG Aleste 2. Also, for Game Gear Micro, GG Aleste 3. That was in 2020. There is a to-be-announced release for Aleste Branch and an arcade version called Senjin Aleste, actually out this year. For a canceled one, there was Denin Aleste 2, which would have been Robo Aleste 2 for Mega CD or Sega CD. And then there's the related games. So these games, some of the different Aleste versions are based on them and some in reverse. Some of them are other compile-ish shooters that have a lot to do with the Aleste series. Including one of the best games in the universe to ever come out. So we have Zanac, came out MSX, Famicom Disk NES. We have the Guardian Legend, as in Gardic. Because Gardic Gaiden was kind of a different game to Gardic Gaiden. And the shooting in there is very reminiscent of Aleste. You have Gunhead for PC Engine, Gunnak for NES, Sere Senshi Spriggan, which was for PC Engine, also anime, Spriggan Mark II, ReTerraform Project, also on PC Engine CD, Power Strike 2 for the Sega Master System, Sylphia, which is a fun little game, let me tell you, I love Sylphia. It's on PC Engine CD, Spriggan Powered for Super Famicom. And then some of the Compile employees left and joined Rising, which I brought this company up before when we talked about Maho Daisakusen. They did Maho Daisakusen and Shippu Maho Daisakusen. And so Aleste in and of itself has just all kinds of little tendrils mixed in other games of similar genre, very much seen in other compile games, very much seen just in general. And we still have it today because, I mean, like I said, there's Senjin Aleste coming out in arcade, or may already be out, I don't know, I have to check, this year. I'm actually looking.
Oh. I was just going to say, while you...
It came out in July.
Oh, there you go. I was going to say, you'd referenced before kind of the connection to, like, Gardic and the Guardian Legend and all that stuff. You know, I really see it in this game, which I'm not familiar with this game, honestly. I wasn't before you kind of brought it up today. But I really see the connection to the Guardian Legend at the end of the stage. When they beat the stage, like, the way the ship flies away. It plays the little tune. The ship flies away. Like, it's very reminiscent of what happens in the Guardian Legend. It's very interesting.
Indeed.
It's that little thing that just, like, takes me back.
But it had some of the same developers. Both were Compile games.
Oh, yeah. I noticed that right off the bat. I was like, oh, she picked Compile game. I know why.
Well, but the other thing, too, is that I believe that some of... There's, like, some Aleste... what am I trying to think? There are some Aleste Easter eggs that I think show up in the Guardian Legend. Like, I want to say that the Landers... might have been a part of it, but I'd have to go look that up again. But yeah, and the Aleste and Gardic Gaiden were only like not even a year apart in release. So they had to have had some co-development. But at any rate, get yourself an MSX2 or a Master System and look for Aleste or Power Strike.
And quite frankly, how dare you not have a Master System in an MSX2 already? No, I don't have either one. But
I do have several Master Systems.
Good memories, though. Good memories. All right.
You know what? You know what I have to say, though. Actually, if any of you have a Genesis, like I think the second edition of the Genesis, look for the FM power base converter, because then you can get the FM sound to play for most games. There's a few it doesn't work on.
All right. There it is, your classic game of the week, Aleste. Great pick. I love these ones where it's like, ooh, I didn't know much about it going in, but it's got a great connection to something I do love. So,
yeah.
All right.
And, well, Compile, we love we stand Compile,
yes,
in this house.
We stand Compile in this house. Absolutely. All right.
And unlike Alestra, it won't make you poop your pants.
Dude. I don't know. There's some of the stages are kind of hard. You might shit yourself.
All right.
Sweating too hard.
let's go to some rapid fire news that hopefully won't give us that same problem in the ball pit at McDonald's. rapid fire news, Loki.
So we have delays, as is tradition. Dying Light 2 has been delayed to 2022. That is now coming out February 4th. Battlefield 2042 has been delayed a little bit to November 19th. So that is going to be a little bit longer than October 22nd, about a month. And then we've got news. I completely forgot that this was even a thing, but apparently more details on the Twisted Metal TV show that's coming. Anthony Mackie is going to be playing a character in the show. That is a name. It's John Doe. He is a smart-ass milkman.
All right.
I don't know. I don't.
Question mark. Boggle.
Yep. Same.
I don't know. Yeah. So I guess we will have to wait and see when this happens. They're saying that it's supposed to film next year. So cool. I'll watch it when it comes out.
Yep, same reaction as SSJ100 Matt in chat. What?
I hope we get a new Twisted Metal game. That would look pretty cool on PlayStation 5.
All right, Dark Soccer, what do you have for us?
Well, some YouTubers, you know, there's those like YouTube channels where they like open warehouses and go into horror places and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, this group that has a YouTube channel called Cheap Finds Gold Mines, and they go through like Goodwill yard sales, but they were allowed into a house that was a hoarder's house that had been closed for 20 years, something like that. And it was gross. It was super gross, but they found all kinds of stuff. Like they found
Blockbuster VHS tapes and different collectibles and a bunch of video games. I tried to watch some of it. It was really kind of nasty. But they pulled out something like a bunch of factory sealed games. They passed on some already opened games, but they did make exceptions for certain games like Tomba on PS1 and the terrible PS3 Bayonetta. And the quote is that they had to deal with a little bit of mouse poo to get some good games. And one of them was bitten by a brown recluse.
I'm trying to figure out, how was it locked away for 20 years? Like that, I mean, I realize that, you know, those situations can already sometimes be a little, messy, you know, depending on the severity of it. But 20, how did it then go? Like that's to then sit for 20 years. Well, that's how all the animals showed up.
Oh, yeah.
It's weird.
But I mean, it was absolutely a hoarder home. And I mean, I've watched Hoarders before. Hoarders is usually what I watch to motivate myself to clean my house.
Big same. Yeah.
Yeah. And,
but yeah, I'm surprised that like it wouldn't have just been broken into, but, you know, that's
apparently
a long
not
time to sit there.
Yeah. That's the weird part to me.
Well, I mean, it also depends on where in the country you are. And I don't believe I saw where this was. Apparently the other person on here got scabies.
Wow. All right. Pleasant.
I don't know. Would you brave that for a shitload of games?
If people are still dumb enough to be buying these cartridges for like $1 million, which, by the way, I should at some point mention those like YouTube, there's the great, and I'm sorry, I don't remember the creator in the moment, but our voiceover guy, Jason, was telling me about it and all this stuff. There's a great like documentary on YouTube. Somebody in chat's going to know what I'm talking about instantly, that went on for like, it was like a 50-minute documentary that basically talks about why those price, like, and we've talked about it on this show, those limited auctions where like old cartridges are going for $1 million, like basically like how it's all BS, like it's an artificial inflation of the industry, and it's basically a crime what's going on. So somebody in chat, oh, is Jason in chat right now? Fuck yeah. Hi, Jason. Says Carl Jobst is the name there. Carl, J-O-B-S-T.
Yeah,
that's it. That's exactly it. So I wanted to shout that out because, yeah, I know Jason had brought that up. I have not, unfortunately, taken the 50 minutes to watch it myself yet.
But
I've heard nothing. Oh, you did? What did you? Quick, please tell us about it, because I'm sorry. I know it's rapid fire news and Jamie's story, but this is an important follow up, please.
Yeah, so basically, a lot of those sealed games that are going for a lot of money right now, they're being, I guess, graded by a certain company that's involved with this auction house. And so a lot of these games are also being sold, like, to themselves, basically. So, like, they will sell, like, one of those sealed Mario Brothers games for $1 million, but they're selling it to another guy that works at the auction house type of thing. So they're inflating the prices by this. These guys got in trouble a while back when they were inflating the prices of, oh gosh, what was it? Was it baseball cards, comics, something that was like back in the 80s. It wasn't, may have been comics. I don't know.
Bobby says coins.
Coins. Okay. Yeah. So they were basically inflating the price. So it's really sketch to have like an auction house and a grading company kind of working together, because the grading company is supposed to be, you know, separate. So like the guy that owns the grading company is actually in like on the board for the auction house, or they're just like involved financially somehow. And so it basically allows them to grade something slightly better than they would have if, you know, since it's going on the site. It's just not, you watch the video, there's a lot of details, but it basically, they're trying to artificially inflate the market so that they can make some money, and it's going to crash.
Thank you so much, Jason, for the live crowd. I was just about to ask, can somebody post the link to the video so y'all can hit save and watch later? So Jason posted the link there in chat. For those of you that are on the podcast, of course, you don't see the live chat. But if you search YouTube for that user, Carl Jobst, J-O-B-S-T, and it's Carl with a K.
Yeah, same thing's happening with Pokemon cards right now, too, with the Pauls.
Oh, yeah, and why, like, Target and Walmart and shit are pulling back on that.
Yeah, it's because it's all speculative. Like, and people are really into speculative gambling marketing. It's, you know, buying stuff that they think is going to have some value, even though it doesn't really have that value. Perfect example, NFTs, you know, it's like, these aren't going to be worth anything in a little bit. But because there's a big boom on it right now, people are trying to make all sorts of money. It sucks though, because like, yeah, I'm trying to get like some games just to make a small collection for like the NES and stuff, but I'm buying Contra for $70. Sorry, I'll wait for the crash. Thank you very much.
Anyway, sorry, I know we went on.
You could buy our Contra, and actually it's worth more than $70.
Sorry, I know we went on a hell of a tangent train there, but I think it's an important follow-up because we have been talking about those stories here on OLR, and so I think that whole, and I think we've even been sitting here when talking about it going, it ain't worth that much. I think it's important to talk about that follow-up a little bit and give kudos to the folks that did the work there to really dig deeper there. Anyway, haha. Rapid-fire news, haha. Did you have one more, Jamie, or did we get both? I'm sorry.
I did.
Okay, go ahead.
I did. Also, though, I'm announcing that Dan and I are actually legit going to be starting to sell off some of the collection.
Oh, wow. That's a big
step. We're
out
of room.
I ought to sell some stuff too because we've got a big change coming. Some of you have figured it out, but I will talk more openly about it very soon. I promise.
Well, just know that there might be a Master System in your future.
Yay. All right. I'm always saying it like that because I'm like, I'm literally in the mindset of less stuff, not more stuff, but I will.
But you always need a Master System.
It's true. You always need a Master System. All right. Anyway, please, your others. Rapid fire. Haha.
Nickelodeon has confirmed a DLC for All-Star Brawl with some voice acting to come. It's going to be two more characters in addition to the 20 that have already been announced. There. Now that was rapid.
All right. That was rapid. Good. All right. Let's travel around the world. Let's travel around the world and check out some release dates of some games that are coming out a little sooner than the Nickelodeon All-Stars and what have you, those sorts of games. Loki, we'll start in the U.S. What's out this week?
We have Kena Bridge of Spirits on PC, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5. World War Z Aftermath on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Pokemon Unite on iOS and Android. Diablo 2 Resurrected on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. Sable on PC, Mac, and Xbox Series X. That game actually looks pretty awesome. Staxel on Nintendo Switch. Death Stranding Director's Cut on PlayStation 5. Dragon Ball Z Kakarot on Nintendo Switch. And Lost Judgment on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. That's it.
I have to admit, guys, I'm torn on the Diablo 2 thing. Like, I love Diablo. I want to support the employees that made that game, but it's tough. Like,
is it one of the Game Pass games?
No. What I think I'm going to do right now is I'm going to buy it after the first week. Because a lot of the corporate stuff and the corporate numbers really want to tout those like day one sales and kind of like how the make or break is in the first week. And so I feel like since that's all the business perspective, maybe if I skip the first week, then they can't use me in that statistic. But then I can ultimately support the team by buying it a little late. That's where my head's at right now. But I don't know. It's a complicated issue. What?
Devious.
My little plan?
Yeah, it's a bit devious.
A little bit.
It's hard to talk with this thing in my mouth.
No, you're fine. You're fine. I thought you said BS at first. I was like, how dare you? But I was like, what part? Maybe a little. I had to really think about that, though. But yeah, I kind of feel like, okay, the corporate stuff is all about that first week. But I could support the team at a later date. And that's kind of where my brain's at right now. I'm not saying anyone else has to do what I do. I'm just talking about how I'm trying to approach this tricky situation. So anyway, let's go to Japan. Some folks in chat are suggesting Mike Def says buy it a month after. Maybe. Dr. Tsuya says, yeah, I don't know if I'll be able to get it at launch. It's on my radar only because it's the one Blizzard franchise I'm interested in. SG100 Matt says, I wanted to play Overwatch on Switch badly, but the Hong Kong thing happened. I didn't get it. Eventually, I forgot all about it and moved on because I had too many games to play. And that's also a very realistic approach, is that, you know, whether I wait a week, 2 weeks, a month to finally get it, my brain might be like, ooh, shiny, and end up getting something else. I still have to get that WarioWare game. Speaking of games I didn't end up buying in the first week, but that wasn't... That was just Rob's busy than anything else.
You can wait.
I liked the demo. I liked... I don't know. Anyway.
All right.
All right. Excuse me. Let's talk about release dates and Japan. And coming out this week on September the 24th? No, I'm sorry. The 20... Do we have games coming out this week in Japan? I'm looking at the Nintendo Switch. And what's a week from today would be the 20... I don't know if there is anything out on the Switch anyway. There's one Dragon Ball Z game out this week.
Is that the Kakaroto?
Yep. That same Kakarot game that's coming out in other territories is out this week in Japan as well on the Switch. Let me see if we have a big PlayStation 5 release. Oh, yeah, okay. So we have Lost Judgment from Sega on the PlayStation 5 this week. That's coming out everywhere as well. Oh, there you go. There's your big release. Death Stranding Director's Cut is this week? Really? Wow, that was fast. I thought that game still had a while to go. So that's out this week in Japan. Okay, that makes a lot more sense. So they're dodging some of those big releases that are out on the PlayStation 5 this week. Okay, so how about the UK, Dark Sakura?
On the 21st, we have World War Z Aftermath. Also coming out now, the rest of these are all on the 24th. Space-based Startopia on Switch. Ember Uber Firefighters. A game called Just Die Already. Dragon Ball Z Kakaroto. I had to say it right. The Addams Family Mansion Mayhem. And Lost Judgment.
Judgment, it's coming out everywhere.
Indeed it is.
All right. I want to mention this other comment in chat from Questbuster because I think it's really good. Questbuster says about the Diablo 2 predicament I'm talking about. As a side note, Vicarious Visions did the heavy lifting on the Diablo 2 remake and issued a statement to judge for yourself on whether or not to support it. That's a very good point, is that, yeah, Vicarious Visions. And Vicarious Visions is where we got Jen O'Neill, who is now one of the co-heads of Blizzard. That's a good point that's worth considering, Questbuster. Thank you for sharing that. Oh, SSJ100 Matt with some breaking news. Apparently, a Pogo player in Norway caught 98 shiny Oshawott today. Shane is not the world leader today. Flop.
Dun, dun, dun.
No, I'm just kidding. He should still be very proud. 98 is a lot. That's crazy. So, but unfortunately, Shane is not the very best like no one ever was. He got beat by some person in Norway. Oh, well. Maybe he
Darn, has, there's Norwegians.
Maybe he has the most in the U.S., though. There are still records to be considered. All right. let's move on. This next story, this is actually sad. This next story, big legend in gaming, right, Loki?
Yes. So Clive Sinclair has passed away at the age of 81. And he, of course, was, he invented the ZX Spectrum home computer back
ZX.
In the... Whatever, you know what? The ZX Spectrum, fine. Of course, also, you know, there's several other things he's worked on as well. The ZX80, which launched in 1980. The Commodore PET. The ZX81 as well. So... yeah, that's unfortunate that he passed away. That was actually pretty recent, yeah. Yesterday.
Or that's Thursday. Sad.
Well, a big hearty fuck cancer to start that, for sure.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting is that when you so I know we talk about the ZX spectrum, or because the way we read our Zs, we oftentimes say the ZX spectrum on this shore. But actually, that whole device, if I'm not mistaken, was released. Well, somebody validated this during Bobby's show when this came up, but that system was called the Sinclair here in the U.S. It was put out by Timex, who you might know from watches, had the license, because you know in the 80s everybody was getting into the computer home computing stuff. So it was the Timex Sinclair, and I think it was kind of like the value model. I think those computers were only about $100. Now, keep in mind, that's in 1980s dollars. But still, when you consider the Commodore 64 was, I thought it was like $400 or $500, but somebody in Bobby's chat was saying it was closer to $700. It probably depends when you bought it. The Timex Sinclair was definitely the value device. I kind of think it showed that in... its capabilities weren't quite up to the same level as Commodore 64. However, I'm not being shady. There were just so many different types of systems in the 80s, and there were a lot of great games that came out of the Spectrum or the Sinclair, whatever you're looking at there. I'm sorry. I need to go AFK. Smush is having a meltdown. I'll be right back. I don't know if it's coming.
Hi, Smushy.
Camera. All right. I'll be right back, guys. Sorry. You need to buy time.
All right. Yeah. Well...
So then, aside from that, you know, also, which is pretty fun, is apparently there's a direct correlation between the ZX Spectrum and GTA. So basically, DMA Designs was a group of amateur Spectrum developers, and then, of course, they eventually created Lemmings, and then later Grand Theft Auto, and then later Rockstar North, and later became Evil. So unfortunately, same story as like Activision, you know,
6 degrees of GTA.
Independent developers out of their garage, you know, doing it because they need to have the industry's back, and then became Evil.
Then they sold their souls.
Everybody becomes evil at some point when they get big enough.
Well, that must be why we're not very big. We never got evil to become big.
Yeah, we're just not evil enough.
I'm a little evil. That cat's evil. Let me tell you. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know why he's.
What does Smushy do this time?
He's in the right, sitting right there, just howling, screaming his head off. And I don't. He's eaten. I don't know what it is. I don't know if he's having litter box drama or what. It's just wild.
Rob,
what?
I am going to talk to you later about the stuff I give Midna to calm the fuck down.
Kitty Prozac?
I've called them her calm the fuck down treats.
Do they make marijuana for cats?
They make CBD.
Oh, okay. There you go. All right. Hey, look.
But you have to make sure
we all
had
to get through this pandemic somehow.
Is right. Well, no. I was gonna say they also make this sort of airborne hormonal, like a pheromone thing for cats. That's supposed to help with like angry hissy cats.
Interesting.
But something like that might help chill anxiety. I think he's having anxiety.
I know, and I don't know why he's loved. Cats are just, I think he might be a little lonely.
Rob.
What?
Cats can have the same psychological problems that humans do.
He has it
they
so
can have
good, though.
Panic disorder. It doesn't matter how good they have it, you know. Yeah. I have a really happy life, and I still have, you know, depression and stuff from time to time. But they do make, you know, you should... I mean, I know it's probably not going to be cheap, but take Mr. Smush in for a hormone check.
I've spent all the money, but maybe in in time when we have some money again, sure.
Or just,
I've already
you know...
I want to take him to the kitty spa and get him that whole kitty massage and that whole stuff. I think that'd be fun.
Midna would freak the fuck out. I wouldn't do that to her. But I'll find you the stuff that my friend uses for her cat. I think it's just OTC stuff, so.
Okay, good to know. Yeah. Did you guys jump ahead at all, or were you just buying time?
No.
Okay.
We were talking about the 6 degrees of GTA.
Oh, okay. Haven't heard of it. All right. But I have heard of Final Fantasy 14 because I play an awful lot of it, and they announced this week... in a very lengthy stream, some of the details for the upcoming expansion, Endwalker. I'm not going to bore all of you that listen with the details, because if you're a fan of Final Fantasy XIV, you probably picked up on some of the big stuff. And if you're not a fan of Final Fantasy XIV, I think 7 hours of patch notes and, well, they're not actually patch notes, but basically like changes and things that are going on with Heavensward. Like, they basically drill down. in this is what's going to happen to the machinist class. And you caught when Shane was talking on the call, I kind of said what were his highlights, and he mentioned like changes to the summoner class. One of the big ones being like, now you don't summon mini, well, you still summon the mini versions of things, but you can summon the big Garuda and the big Ifrit, and there's actually reasons to make the big summons, which is, you know, Final Fantasy is supposed to be all about, so that's pretty cool. So that's like one of the changes they were outlining. And I, as much as I love the Final Fantasy XIV, and they're very dedicated to what they do, they're sometimes a little too detailed and a little too thorough with some of the things that they do, and a little too apologetic for some of the things that they change. I wish they'd learn a little rudeness from some of the developers over here. Or even Nintendo. Don't apologize. Just say this is the way it is and move on. And so they did a 7-hour stream, and it went from, I think it was only supposed to be 4. I think they joked at one point they were done with part 1 after 3.5 hours of their 4-hour stream. They ended up going 7 hours. They started at 7 Pacific time, and they were going until 2 a.m. in the morning. It's just a lot. But there's a lot of good stuff that's going to come in that next expansion, Heaven's Word. If you want to look at all the details, I encourage you to look at the highlight reel. There was an 18-minute job action trailer. I did watch that, and the moves look pretty, and some of them look really fancy. It's pretty good. So I'm hyped for the expansion. It comes out in November, Heaven's Word. Sacred Jade says the Final Fantasy XIV Blu-ray soundtrack Death Unto Dawn was released this past week as well. Yeah, Shane had pre-ordered that and was talking to me about that, except I guess he didn't get his copy of the soundtrack yet. But one of my other friends got the vinyl, some Final Fantasy XIV vinyl, and sent a video of him playing it on his record player. I'm like, people actually play the vinyl records? I thought they just collected them. Anyway, let's move on. Dark Sakura.
Well, a company that I am very fond of, Quantic Dream, is working on a new game, and it's a Star Wars game, which means it's going to have needlessly complicated controls to do everything in the game. It's been confirmed. There was a French YouTuber named Gattos who claimed that the company had signed a deal with Disney, since it was done with Sony, and it actually was confirmed by a very reliable source, or sorry, corroborated by a reliable source, someone named Tom Henderson, who put a very cryptic Star Wars and Detroit Become Human mashup on Twitter. I would be here for it. I mean, I don't think that Quantic Dream has made a bad game. I mean, they just have, I think, the two, right?
Well, you haven't seen Star Wars Become Gungan, so, you know, that's still still a possibility.
At any rate, I really do hope that this comes to pass. It would be really exciting to see the kind of direction they would take it in, especially with their very complicated story systems. I mean, do you know how many branching paths there are in Detroit?
No, a ton.
It's pretty crazy.
The way that Dark Sakura completely ignored Loki's comment, and like I will not validate that comment with this feedback.
I won't. It's true.
Questbuster in chat says Beyond Two Sith.
No.
It's pretty good. Pretty good.
No.
Y'all are funny. Y'all are comedians. All right.
However, just going to say that Quantic Dream also was reported in 2018 by two French publications, Le Monde and Mediapart, that said that they had a very toxic work culture and had financial malpractice, but Quantic Dream sued both of those for defamation.
Oh, wow.
So, there we go.
All right. All right, a few more
I found the other games. It was Nomad Soul, Fahrenheit, Heavy Rain, Beyond Two Souls, Detroit Become Human.
All right. We have a few more stories, and then we're going to get to the listener roundtable. If anyone wants to call in, you can join our green room over on our Discord server, vognetwork.com/discord. But first, a story from Loki.
Yeah, so there is a fan game that's been made for Among Us called Among Us Arena. It is a fighting game, and like a fighting game, you play as the different characters in the game, and you kill each other with basically all the different kills that they have in Among Us. And in a take that is non-Nintendo, the company behind, or the developers behind Among Us, thought it was pretty funny. And in fact, have like said that basically they're going to check it out as well. But yeah, they're totally cool with it. As they should be. It is free to play as well.
It's also
on itch.io.
It's also different when your studio is only three people, you know, and it's not, you probably don't have as many complicated legal, you don't have a legal department when there's only three people at your company. Well, I don't know if they've grown since they did Among Us. I imagine they probably have a little bit, but, you know, originally it was three people. We all know that. So,
yeah.
All right. One more story for you guys tonight, and it's about prototypes, and these can be a lot of fun. And I don't know, Dark Soccer, I feel like some of this might be up your alley because, you know, unfinished Dreamcast stuff, that's always kind of fun, right? So what happened is that, and of course, this thing isn't loading on my particular page over here, so I'm going to go off memory.
I hate it.
If somebody wants to help me fill in here. So what happened here is that this site, and I think it's Hidden Palace that found all this, or they got ties to it or whatever, basically found a lot of prototypes for either the original Xbox or Dreamcast as well. And so these are, most of them are playable in emulators if you want to check it out, or they even have, you know, it's all questionable legality, but we are talking about systems that are way past their prime, and this is more of a video game preservation type of thing, I think. But what was of particular interest to me when I was looking through the archive myself is that there was Xbox versions of DDR Ultramix 1, 2, and 3. There were prototypes of them that were available. And that's pretty cool. Although I got to be honest, I was reading through some of the changes. It didn't seem like there were a lot of changes. It just seemed like the early version of DDR Ultramix 1 was missing three songs. Like they got some late licenses in that, which makes sense. It's kind of what I expected. And then in Ultramix 3, there was like some language changes in the like world. I even forgot about that mode where you travel around the world and stuff that was in there. And then like Ultramix 2, I don't think there was a lot. Like they changed some title screens and some things like that. So you're not going to see like, oh, they cut these songs or a completely different. Nah, it wasn't that juicy. But there was some neat stuff in there. So it's interesting that, and was anyone able to pull the story up? And like, how did they find this trove of discs? That part I don't remember.
Let's see.
I can figure that out.
I don't know where they found those discs, but yeah.
Yeah. And sometimes the people don't want to be found. Dr. Tsuya in chat says, to be fair, the Dreamcast is still getting homebrew stuff. That's true, but we also have a lot of prototypes here of things that did come out. And yeah, I noticed the Xbox prototypes, the Ultramix games. And Dr. Tsuya said this was neat. Questbuster points out, I still love the Dreamcast startup sound. Yes, there is that too.
Yeah. That, the Dreamcast, and the first PlayStation.
Oh, yeah. The first PlayStation one was iconic. So this is all tied to something called, I was able to pull it up on my phone. This is all something tied to something called Project Deluge, which was just something I guess this site has been working on, this Hidden Palace. So they don't really say, oh, okay. It's an ongoing project to archive and assess all of the items featured in a lot of video game development material that has been gathered over the course of many years. This has been made possible through the dedication of only one extremely kind individual who has taken the Herculean task of dumping every single thing in the lot by themselves. Each item in the lot was assessed by a team of dedicated individuals for playability and integrity on both software via emulation and hardware when necessary. Each item was then lightly documented and given a general overview of some of the main interesting facts about the item in question. I'm reading directly from that website, hiddenpalace.org, on where this all came from. So they're not quite saying directly, but it just sounds like sources. And they've had a very generous individual who's found a lot of this stuff. So I imagine somebody was in the know in the industry and had some stuff in their office that they took with them. I bet. I'm going to just guess, okay? I don't know nothing about nothing. A lot of this stuff, like when I was reading about the DDR Ultramix thing, the prototype for number 3 was slower, and it actually had text on there that said, please be patient, the retail version will not have these loading times, or something like that. That tells me these are probably all pre-release review copies from a day when you needed to have prototypes out to the outlets 4 or 5 months in advance of release because you needed that lead time to get it in the magazine.
Well, because the outlets had dev systems to be able to play those on.
Yes. So my guess...
Well, also, some of these, though, they reference like the DDR Konamix preview version. Like, wasn't that an event that they did as well? I don't know. Some of these tie within events that we may have attended.
So my big guess is that somebody in the industry that worked for a magazine, and it may not have been the U.S., could have been Canada, could have been overseas, could have been anything, had a big collection of these review discs from over the years that they never got rid of, and now we're all benefiting from that. That's if I were to bet money, place chips on the roulette board of where this came from, I'm going to say press reviewer from a time long forgotten when there were 4 month lead times to get games in magazines. All right. That all being said, Questbuster in chat says, yay, preservation efforts. It does make sense. Dark Tetsuya says it makes sense. So, well, thank you for validating my crazy thinking. But, that has to be what it is. But I completely respect the fact that this Hidden Palace site, they can't name who it is. They don't, because it is still a, sure, all these games are old. They're not going to, sell the way they used to. I mean, I guess there's always remastered.
I think some of them also could have been donated by the developers.
That's true, too. Some of them could have, there are some game developers that kind of released their stuff to MAME, the multi-arcade machine emulator, saying that you may use this.
And there's some who released, who sent out the unfinished ones. And one of the biggest ones I can think of is like the Robotech Crystal Dreams.
I remember when we were waiting for that game to come out.
That could be the case, but the reason why I'm placing my chips where I am is because you have a variety of different systems happening here. It's not all coming from like one system, one source, one publisher. So that's why. But it could be, I mean, they do kind of say it's one person's efforts, but it could be that maybe the donations came from
Here's another hint too. So I was just kind of browsing through some of these different games that are on here. And for Power Stone, it says watermark to 1,000, 18,000, which is tips and tricks. Maybe these were copies that were sent out to different publications for like, tip guides and stuff like that as well.
Absolutely. Why not? Didn't our friends at Prima, are they still going Prima Games out in Roseville? Are they still? I mean, I don't know. I better watch my mouth. All right. I don't know where they came from anyway. It's just sometimes you draw lines where you see connections. Okay. Let's get to the listener roundtable. I want to check in on the mailbag. I'm pretty sure Dark Sakura told me before the show there were no emails, but it's a good chance for me to check in and
I'm gonna refresh.
Okay.
There's nothing.
Participate at orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us an email in a future week. Of course we'll take questions in our chat room. And I don't see anybody in our green room at the moment, but you never know. Thank you. Dr. Tetsuya says Prima, if I recall correctly, they shut down. That's what I thought, too.
Yeah. I had a friend who used to write for them.
Yeah, and we met them at one of those early E3s, and we kind of always talked about, like, we should get together and have lunch because we're all in Sacramento. What can we do for each other? But that didn't – I mean, I can
that
say
never
that.
Never happened.
I can say that now because they're gone.
We tried one time, and that, didn't happen. Like, they weren't there or something.
Yeah.
I remember driving over there.
Yeah, I remember – it's been so long. I remember something about that. Yeah, what do y'all think? The OLR strategy guide collab that never was. Okay.
Amongst many other ones that we've –
many other flopped collaborations over the year. Perhaps we'll detail in a book that you can buy in stores someday.
The shit that didn't happen. The untold story.
Orange Lounge fucked OVO. How your favorite podcast was prevented from getting any bigger. All right. No One Special 77 in chat says, roundtable question. Do any of you ever hang on to old demo discs that came with gaming mags from back in the day? If so, which ones? That's a great question.
I don't know
what we were just talking about.
To hold on to all of them.
They're in a bin.
I used to get like Xbox magazine stuff and used to have all the Xbox 360 demo discs in there. I think I threw those out though when I ended up leaving my last company because they were all at my desk and I wasn't using them for anything. Or they're in a box. one of the two things.
Yeah, I did a big purge as well with that stuff. So I no longer have a lot of those discs. I have some, but not a lot.
I think I still have a Jumping Flash one, at least, and a couple of Dreamcast ones, and like an Xbox one. So I used to take the PlayStation ones, though, and rip music off of them because sometimes it would actually have a whole game's worth of information on it.
Mm-hmm. I think the reality for me is, too, is that a lot of those discs kind of exist on the internet now, much like these prototypes we just talked about. So, like, if I ever, like, had to see what was on one of those discs, I could just download it from the internet and emulate it. That's the reality. I know that's not the same for most people. I respect that. I understand some people are going to see the value in hanging on to them. I couldn't justify it anymore. That's the problem. And Jason even in chat points out the digital form will likely be archive.org, and I'm sure most of them already do. And that's a follow-up to another comment he said saying, I have a ton of PC Gamer demo discs. I just recently decided to start on a disc preservation archival project, so I looked in some many, many years old media bins. I need to see where I can donate them. Wow. But yeah, archive.org is definitely going to be probably a place where you'll find a lot of that stuff. So good call. All right. I don't see anything in the chat. Any other last-minute stories, Loki, that you want to talk about?
Yeah, unfortunately, we had a Sega and Capcom artist pass away. Mick McGinty. He was famous for a lot of different cover arts of games that you may remember, like Street Fighter II. He also did the artwork for all of the Zoo Tycoon games. Streets of Rage 2, Kid Chameleon, Shining Force, and Leisure Suit Larry. So, yeah, he passed away peacefully, they said.
I'm looking at our Discord for some stories, because you guys post stories throughout the week in Discord, and sometimes we don't get to all of them on the show, but this is a good time for me to address some of them. Apparently we didn't, I don't know why we forgot to bring this up on the show. But apparently, this, GeForce Now, which I talked about earlier in the show, they had a big leak, that happened, which is interesting. Uh-oh. Because there was a lot of titles on it where they're like things we have never heard of. And NVIDIA actually confirmed the leak is real, but the games are speculative. That's what they're saying. So they're not, they're saying there's no, but that's what somebody who's trying to cover up a big fuck up would say, right? Because seriously, these are the games that were in the list: Final Fantasy IX Remake, BioShock RTX what? Remaster, Resident Evil 4 Remake. Well, we all know that one's going to happen. Halo 5 PC. I think that would happen too. Grand Theft Auto Trilogy Remasters.
Oh, what? They're going to remaster the Grand Theft Auto trilogy after DMCA striking all those people making, you know, content for the original trilogy? Talk.
Crysis 4, Half-Life 2 Remastered, Injustice 3, and so on. NVIDIA said it was only for internal testing and that the games listed don't necessarily exist. Sounds like somebody
of course they don't.
Trying to cover up. That's right. You didn't see anything here. Nothing happened here. No, I think it is very possible that they just came up with a list of dummy titles that somebody came up with to just kind of test the interface of the software and all that stuff. So, but I think somebody was probably writing a fan list, but probably was like, yeah, Grand Theft Auto Trilogy, that'll happen. Like, kind of like Loki's saying, you know, like, I'm going to make some educated guesses and, you know, a broken clock is still right twice a day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Funcom bought the Conan IP. The Age of Conan and Conan Exiles developer is now owned by Tencent. What's that?
And Conan O'Brien.
Not that Conan. They bought Cabinet Group, which
Conan helped... the Librarian?
Detective Conan.
Held dozens of the intellectual properties like Conan the Barbarian, Mutant Year Zero, and Solomon Kane. Interesting. All right, some of the comments there from our Discord server over at vognetwork.com/discord. Ooh, burn. Orange Wright in chat says, at least the list was somewhat realistic. Konami was missing.
They don't make games anymore. It's fine.
That should be the new title in the Mario is Missing series. Konami is missing. All right, I think that's gonna.
No,
do
we
it.
Know right where Konami is, and it ain't making games.
Yeah, it's living in the dumpster.
They're making DLC
because they set their last dumpster on.
It's fire. In that hoarder's house.
All right,
with the roaches.
We're gonna wrap
and the
up.
Scabies.
We're gonna wrap up the show for tonight. Thank you guys so much for downloading our show and checking us out tonight. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, tell a friend about the show because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. If the voices aren't here, then we can't put them out on air. So tell a friend about the show. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. I'm still going to say a host on Twitch goes some of the way, although it sounds like due to some recent changes, hosting isn't quite as great as it used to be. So I have to think of a way to reword this typical shout out I do at the end. So I will just simply say we always appreciate a follow here on Twitch, and spreading the word of our Twitch channel here at VOG Network as well is very helpful. Also, I would be remiss not to mention it is September. So if you wanted to get a subscription to VOG Network and access the archive feed of a couple of years now of OLR and Bobby Blackwolf show, as well as some bonus streams, if you want to see Shane and I recap the best Pokemon of all time definitively, that's one of the bonus streams available to our subscribers, so you can check that out over at twitch.tv/VOG Network. What else do I want to say here? Nice review.
Words.
Goes a long way, all that stuff. Oh, the shop, vognetwork.com/shop. If you are wanting to buy some merchandise, such as an Orange Lounge Radio shirt, or a VOG Network shirt, or a Bobby Blackwolf mug, there's lots of options available to you over at vognetwork.com/shop. Maybe we'll put some new shit up in the coming months. We'll see. I think that now that's everything. So I think we're ready to get to our final thoughts and wrapping it up. Dark Sakura is going to continue the party tonight live on Twitch with some Dead by Daylight. I'm sure she's going to do some very sweaty pig games. I was actually watching a little bit of Dark Sakura's stream last night. She got very excited when she got an RPD badge so that she could use it tonight for you all to play a sweaty, sweaty pig build.
Are you holding me to do Resident Pigu tonight, Rob?
I'm not holding you to do anything, but you did say last night you were going to do it.
I'm probably gonna. Right. I just want to do it when I've got myself in the right mindset, because last night I was playing kind of like a potato.
Well, it happens. MMR's made the game weird anyway. We're all getting used to it.
MMR, I don't... Okay, so I found... somebody linked a video that where apparently they data mined the MMR settings, and I'm going to go back and read it later, watch it a little bit later and see if I can figure some stuff out about it.
All right. Well, let me get your final thought, because I know you probably want to head out and get that started.
MMR is balls.
All right. Thanks for being here, Dark Sakura. We'll see you next week. Loki, your final thought.
Final thought is the cat won't stop screaming at me.
Yeah, I was having that same problem too. So I took him into Alan and said, deal with it. All right.
I had to pick her up.
It worked. All right. My final thought is WarioWare. It's got to happen this week. And hopefully I'll do some streaming. My dad's belated birth. So my dad's birthday is always during Dragon Con now, so I always seem to miss his birthday, sadly, but that just means we go out to dinner when we get back. So we went out on Tuesday, so I couldn't stream on Tuesday night, and then I had other plans on Friday, so I've actually been kind of busy. And then I'm trying to support Alan doing streaming, so I don't like to do streaming on top of him. We don't have the internet or the resources for that anyway. But I will try to stream either Tuesday or Friday this week and probably do some WarioWare. And then maybe just a random Dead by Daylight stream of my own, just because I have fun playing the game. Or Final Fantasy, we talked about that with Shane. So there'll be some randomness as well. We'll do that. So that'll be for me over at twitch.tv/RobRoberts. Thank you guys so much for downloading and listening to our show or participating live. However you participated with Orange Lounge Radio tonight, we appreciate you. And we hope you all have a wonderful week. We'll see you in 7 days to do it again here on Orange Lounge Radio. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.